जयं विश्वपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधाकृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसीदेवी की भक्तिदेवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री श्रील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवा श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथी मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्सव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वया चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषां धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैलवोत्र परमो नर्मत्सराणां सदां नित्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेत्रकृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं बलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैभायनो विरहकादरमाज्जुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मै यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिथितीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदाधृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമൻ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം ഖരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാംബുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലങ്കൈ യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So yesterday from this 29th chapter, which is the beginning of Rasa Dance, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami this question. Question was that how come that the gunapravaho paramatasam gunadhiyam katham, that the gopis who are under the three modes of material nature, how they have Krishna vidhuparam kandam nadu brahmadayamune, that how they were able to shift their attention from the three modes of material nature, how they got attracted to Krishna. This was the question from Parikshit Maharaj. And in answer to that, for five verses, Sukabrahmarshi answered that question. He says, he told him, Kamam, Krodham, Bhayam, Sneham, Aikyam, Saukhrudam Evaja, Nityam, Haro, Vithatato, Yandi, Tanmayadam, Hite, നൈവം വിസ്മയകാര്യോ ഭവതാ ഭഗവത്യജേ യോഗേശ്വരേശ്വര കൃഷ്ണേ യത ഏതദ് വിമുച്യതേ യാ ദൃഷ്ടാന്തികമായ താ ഭഗവാൻ വ്രജയോഷിത അവതദ്വദതാം ശ്രേഷ്ഠോ വാജപേശേർ വിമോഹയൻ. ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ഹിസ് ആൻസർ. വി സോ ദയർ ദാറ്റ് ഗോപീസ് ദേ ഹാഡ് ബൈ അസോസിയേഷൻ വിത്ത് കൃഷ്ണ ഡ്യൂ ടു സത്സംഗം. Gopis have come to the understanding that they have turned all their attention towards Krishna. The result was that they were all their pious activities and sinful activities have completely been wiped out. And one, number one. Number two, their karma was completely finished because of that they have lost their karma, has completely left them. In other words, that is why they were able to leave the family members freely and walk away from there. So at that point, we talked this also yesterday, that many, many great personalities, when people come to them for spiritual instructions, they will first study the person's state of consciousness. If there is no sufficient vairagyam inside or renunciation inside, they will not normally invite them to come to spiritual life. They will keep them, they will encourage them to go back to family life and to live their family life till there is some vairagyam inside. So without vairagyam, without renunciation detachment, the knowledge won't get strengthened. We talked about this before also. Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam, they are connected each other. They are connected each other. If there is no sufficient Vairagyam, the knowledge will not stay inside. The knowledge will be shaky. In other words, Dardhyam or Dhridatha, what they call in the Shastram is Dardhyam. Dardhyam means that knowledge of the Shastram will not take its roots in a person if there is no vairagyam. It will not get firmly established in someone who has no vairagyam. That is the way the spiritual life. Bhakti jnana vairaga artham. Well, Uvaranam says there, isn't it? Bhakti jnana vairaga artham. The three things go together. If there is no vairagyam, the knowledge will not come of any use to him, to that person. It will not get firmly established in the person if there is no vairagyam in him. Secondly, bhakti cannot go in the proper way if it is not properly directed by the knowledge. That is another thing. The bhakti will take into wrong path and it will not be understood properly. Proper bhakti, what Krishna has spoken about in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that will not be understood properly if there is no jnanam along with that bhakti, along with the bhakti. Jnanam is a part of that process of bhakti. Without knowledge, without proper understanding, if we execute the process of bhakti, that bhakti process will sometime go in the wrong directions. Thirdly, if both vairagyam and jnanam to stay in a person, bhakti is necessary. So all three of them are required in spiritual life, and that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see that Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken to develop all the three, bhakti, jnanam and vairagyam. If there is no vairagyam, what will happen to a person who comes to spiritual life? What will happen is, once again, he will go back to the sense enjoyment. He will go back to sense enjoyment. Therefore, it is just like a test. It's done on them by the great Mahatmas. What they do, they will encourage them to go back home and tell them that go and stay at home, and there is no necessity to come to the ashram and to stay in the ashram. It is sufficient if you stay at home and execute bhakti. So, they will also tell them that whatever karmam that they have to perform at home, if you execute them properly, that will be sufficient for them. In this way, they will try to send them back. This is quite normal in the spiritual field. So, quite often people will feel, they get convinced about that, and they will go back to, they may go back home or go back to their normal way of life. But the idea is, the Mahatmas think that if he goes back, let him go back and then we'll see what happens. Because sannyasam or renunciation is a very difficult process. It's a very difficult process. Only those who have got the strength and conviction and proper realization, they can pursue that path properly. It is just like leaving both the hands open and jumping from the cliff of a hill, from the cliff. And in the same way, if he is not matured enough, he will become a problem for both himself and also for the society, as well as he will create a bad name for sannyasa ashram. All these are the problems. So if you give sannyasam to someone who is not properly matured, and who does not have the proper realizations in him, and if sannyasam is given to him, he will create problems in the society. Not only that, he will create a bad name for sannyasa ashram and also for himself. So, therefore, unless one is completely matured enough, so if they come to the sannyasa ashram, people who are not matured enough, and when they come to the sannyasa ashram, then the problems associated with that you can see in the modern society very much. Very much. People who are not matured enough and ready for the sannyasam, they have taken sannyasam, and the implications of that you can observe yourself in the modern life. So we have no authority to question sannyasashram. Sannyasashram is nowhere to be questioned. But at the same time, now that all other ashrams have gone also into difficulties, Brahmachari ashram, Grahastha ashramam, Vanaprastha ashramam, everything is gone into problems. In the same way, that immaturity, apakvata, it is called, that you can see that in the sannyasa ashram also it has entered, and the result is that the course of time that will create a bad name for sannyasa ashram as well. Therefore, Acharyas in the very good traditions, very first class traditions, they will not offer sannyasam to anyone so freely. They will encourage them to go back home and to live in their household and life. So when the time comes, they will tell them that you can come back to ask for sannyasashram again. But actually, they are not saying that because they want it like that. It is only to test their maturity, how matured they are in their realization inside. Because quite often that's what happens, isn't it? So gopis have here come to Krishna. They have given up everything. Attachment for home, they have given up. Attachment to family, they have given up. Karmam is completely over. They have given up all their karmam also. And they have come to Krishna here in this situation. That is what has happened. So, and not only that, Krishna has invited them by the sound of the flute. By the sound of the flute. So, Krishna has called them and they have come. They have come. They have given up everything. They have abandoned their family, abandoned their relations, everything, home, and left all their activities, and they have come to Krishna. So, just like in the Bhagavatam it says, just like the iron is attracted by the magnet, in the same way, iron is attracted by the magnet, or just like the river is flowing to the ocean, in that way. So, and that is why you will see here, when Krishna, when they arrived there, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, verse 18, Swagadam O Mahabhaga, Priyam Kim Karavaniva, Prajasanamayam Kachil, Brutagamanakaranam. So Krishna is also following the same process, like all the Mahatmas do. Krishna saying to him, saying to them, to the gopis, Swagadam O Mahabhaga, Priyam Kim Karavaniva, Rajasanamayam kachil brudagamana karanam. Krishna is saying to them, oh fortunate gopis, welcome. And what should I do for you? And is everybody happy in Gokulam? And what was the reason that you have all come together here? This was the first thing Krishna has asked the gopis. So why did you come at this time of the night here? And what should I do for you? Is everyone happy in Brajam? Everybody is happy at Brajam. Vrajasanamayam kachil prudagamana karanam. So at that time, inquiring that the welfare of the gopis, Krishna says to them that they are asking the gopis, why have you come? And especially at this time of the night, so late in the night. So, Rajam yesham ghore rupam. Rajan yesha ghore rupa, ghore sattva nishe vidaha, pradiyada vrajam neha, steyam straibhi sumadhyamaha. Krishna saying to the gopis that this is a very dangerous time, this dark night, and it is wild forest there, and also very wild animals also there, and it's not proper for you to come here and stand here at night. Please go back. You are women, that too young women. And if you should not stand here, everybody should go back. And not only that, your mother, father, brothers, relations, husbands, children, they will all must be waiting for them. That's what Krishna is saying to them in the next verse. Madara pidara putra bradara padayaschava vijinvandi abashyando ma kridvam bandhusadhvasam. That bandhusadhvasam. Drishtam vanam kusamidam rakesha kararanjitam yamuna nilalila ija taripallava shobhidam. So on one side, Krishna is saying to them to go back, and they will all must be waiting for them. Krishna says to them that on the one hand, Krishna says to them, all the parents, brothers, sisters, husbands, they must all be waiting at home. Please go back. On the other hand, Krishna is also telling them, look at this forest, that you have seen the beauty of Vrindavanam, haven't you? And not only that, this Rakesha Karanjitam, that due to the full moon which was present there, and the breeze that was coming from Kalindi river, and the beautiful flowers that was there, all that things Krishna started asking them to look at. And Krishna also told them to look at the Vrindavanam and also the Yamuna river bank.
Tadyadamam chiram goshtam. Tadyadamam chiram goshtam. Shishrushadvan padin sadi. Krandandi valsa balascha. Tan payayata mukhyadaham.
So Krishna is saying to them, you should go back and you should look after your husbands. And small children, they must be crying. And you have come to me here because you love me, but because I am the object being loved by everybody, Krishna says to them in this way. So, therefore, you have come here, but Krishna is talking to them in the mood of Paramatma as the Super Soul. But sometimes Krishna talks to them about the dharmam of the human body, human beings also. And Krishna says to them, serving your husbands is the most, is the thing that I would like you to do, Krishna says to them. Because, and Krishna says the normal dharmam of this world in the 24th verse.
Bharta shushrushanam strinam paro dharmo amayaya tal bandhunam cha kalyanyam prajanam cha anuposhanam.
So, from now on, Krishna is instructing the gopis that about their, what is stri dharmam? What is their dharmam? Krishna is talking to them.
Bhartra shushrushanam strinam paro dharmo hyamayaya tal bandhunam cha kalyanya prajanam cha anuposhanam.
Normally, a woman, when she enters into householder life, these instructions are given.
Doesn't matter. Dushilo durbhago vriddho jado rokhyadano viva padistri bhirnahadavyo loge apsu bhirabhadagi logo apsu bhirabhadagi.
So, then, in fact, Krishna is saying, marriage is nothing but a upasana. Marriage is a upasana, Krishna is saying. Whatever that has been given, as whoever has been given as a husband, Krishna is saying to the gopis, whoever has been come as your husband in this life, and husband and wife, whatever be their nature, they should take that responsibility in their life to execute their obligations mutually without causing any problems to other. In the sense that we may have thousands of reasons to break the marriage and go away. Krishna is saying here that you should understand that that destiny or the fate or whichever way you call it, that has brought us together, and there should be one reason behind it. We should know that. Krishna says that the reason what has brought the man and the woman together, Krishna says you should never forget that destiny behind it. Because their point of view, we'll talk about that purva prarabdham, that means that there is some accounts to be settled in this life. That is why they have been brought together. So therefore the best thing to do, whatever may be the unhappiness or misery in the married life, that if you are willing to tolerate that and swallow it, and all kinds of problems may happen in the married life, but that way the karmam account will get settled. Sages who know the secret of karmam, who understand how the principle of karmam operates in this world, they will never allow to break the marriage and go away from that unless it is for sannyasashram. Unless it is for sannyasashram. That too with sufficient vairagyam. If one has reached sufficient vairagyam and he is ready for sannyasam, only in that situation he is given permission by the sages to break the marriage and go away from home. Otherwise, under no circumstances, either by Krishna or by the sages, they have given permission to do so. So, therefore, point is that only for one's own convenience and or due to great distress that comes in married life, either for one's own convenience
or due to a very heavy distress in the married life, giving up marriage is not allowed either by Shastram or by the Rishis or by Krishna. It's not allowed. That is the principle. You may have thousands of reasons to go away from the marriage. But Krishna is saying here, Dushyelo Durbhago Vriddho Jadaryo Khyadano Viva Patistre Bhirnahadavyo Logayabhi Surapathagi. Even Dushila means even his habits are bad, and at the same time he is not very good looking, beautiful. Even if he is sick, or even if he is very, very poor, even in that came, because the reason for that is that these things, what Krishna is saying here, if you look at it through the society, or if you look at it from the material point of view, you will not understand it. Why Krishna is saying these things, isn't it? Why Krishna is saying these things? That's why it's important to know. Shastra will tell us the right thing to do. Society will tell us what is pleasure for you. What is Shreyas and Prayas. Prayas is what society will tell us. Shreyas is what Krishna is telling us. Krishna's point is, whether Krishna is saying here, Dushilo Durbhago Vriddho Jadaryokhya Dhanobhiva, whatever may be the husband, whether he has bad habits, or he is old person who is sick, or he is poor, or his health isn't very good, whatever it may be, under no circumstances you should break the marriage. Reason for that is, Krishna is saying here that the destiny or the karma behind it that brought the man and the woman together, that should not be broken, because by doing that you have not escaped from the clutches of karma. That still remain, you will have to come back and continue with that again. So these things, if you start looking at it through the society or through the eyes of a mundane person, we will not understand this, why Krishna is saying all these things. Because we have moved so far away from the values what the sages have given us. Rishis, they have given us certain values in life, isn't it? In order that to live a life in a particular way, so that ultimately we get maximized from this life in this world. In other words, to develop into spiritually and eventually to go back home to Krishna. So in order for that purpose, keeping that as the objective, the sages have given a way of life. In that, Grahasashramam is spoken in this way. We have moved so far away from that. As far, this is important, because as far as sages are concerned, the world is not important. This is the first thing we have to understand from the Vedic philosophy. As far as sages are concerned, the world is not important, the individual is important. It's a very important point. As far as sages are concerned, the world is not important, the individual is important. Because for them, our life in this world is for self-realization, not for any other purpose. Normally we are driven by the world. What the world does, we go after that, isn't it? While the world is telling us, we will do that. But from the viewpoint of the sages, they have never given any importance to this world. As far as this world is concerned, it's a false thing for them. It doesn't exist. It exists in us. We don't exist in that. That's the important thing. They give importance to the individual. Individual is important for them, because individual's life is more valuable than this whole world. How he executes his life in this world, utilizes this opportunity to get out of this material world once for all, that is given more importance by the sages, and that is the Vedic way of thinking. Vedas don't give any care for this world, external world. Unfortunately, we have gone so far away from that. That is where this problem. This journey for every individual is a journey towards perfection, the journey towards self-realization. And that is what is more important for the sages. This world is not a reality for them. This world is not a reality for them. At the moment, we are thinking, the world is a reality and I am temporary here. I am temporarily here for some time and I am going to die and go away. But Rishis, the sages, according to their darshanam, that this material world or the manifested world is nothing but a phenomenon, and I am the abiding reality in that. The world is a phenomenon and the reality is me. Not I am a phenomenon and world is a reality. We have to move away from that. All of us are trapped in that understanding that how to please the world. We should follow the world, what the world tells us to do. Everybody else is doing that, so I have to do the same thing. No. It is not, Shastram doesn't accept that. That is why if you look through the eyes of this world, you will find Bhagavatam completely different. Bhagavata philosophy will not be understood. Because Bhagavatam is the same principle what Krishna is speaking, is the same what the Rishis have spoken to us. As far as they are concerned, our individual is more important than the world. Pravanjam or the material world is a phenomenon, and the reality behind that is us, the individual. Individual is the reality. Only if you study the Krishakans Bhagavatam well, you will know these things and you will understand it properly. Because where is the world? World is in me. It is only a pratibhasam, they call it. Because it's an apparent reality. Reality in the sense, it exists because I exist. Otherwise the world doesn't exist. It's because of me I experience the world. My consciousness, my awareness inside is more important than the world which is outside. This is the first principle in Krishna consciousness. That if you don't understand this, if you think that correcting this world, changing this world, pleasing this world is my business, you will not get to the goal for which they have given us Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is why it's mentioned here that whether the world is there or it's not there, we have to understand that what we are, that is more important. And the problem or the obstacle or the block that is staying in between us and self-realization is the karmam that I have executed and the karma vasana that I have created from various karmams in different lifetimes and as well as in this life. So in order that karma bandham means a mutual bondage between husband and wife or between different family members that has been created due to some previous activities in previous lifetimes which has come now, and that is why different members get together in one family. That's the only reason. We don't know the subtle sides of their life. That family members come together only one reason. Why certain member comes to one family? There has some accounts to be settled between the family members. That's why they have come. So, and unless and until that accounts are not settled, only then you are free. Only then you are free. Instead of doing that, you may go elsewhere and study all philosophy and execute all kinds of penances, and whatever upasana you may do, you will not be able to get fixed up in that. It will not be possible. Otherwise, there is no point in writing down everything, Vedantam everything, because you can take it, write it down and go and keep it at home. That's all. There is no benefit. So there, Krishna is saying, agrado vasana. So agrado vasana, that means, a person, for him, this knowledge of the Vedas will not be of any benefit till he comes to understand that what is upasana means. Krido upasana means that most of the people are thinking that if I go to the temple and engage in some deity worship there, everything is perfect. Everything is, no, it is not. The debt what we have towards others, that has to be first sorted. So how will you know that the debt is cleared? That's also another question, isn't it? We will ask the question, how do we know that the debt is clear? So, whomever we have come into contact with, we have to take it that there is some debt towards them. Therefore, that is why that relationship has come together. How will we know that the debt is cleared? Because the way to know that is, at some point in time, you will develop that 100% renunciation from there and desire for
realizing the truth will come develop very strongly inside. That is the proof for that. That is the proof for that. And that is the only time one is allowed to go leave home and leave all the connections and walk away from everything. Up to that point, all the accounts must be settled, all the accounts has to be cleared, and otherwise, if you go away without doing all that, there will be implications afterwards. So, at that point, when the accounts are settled, you see, everything in the Vedas is spoken in a very subtle level. We may not understand it. It has, in the modern world particularly, a lot of it has just become instructions. And because people do not really understand the principle behind it, they tend to break it very easily. Just like we mentioned before also, that sometimes people think that we are very good people. We are very good people. And if you look at their life, you see that they live a normal life in this world. They are not engaged in sinful activities. And they live an honest life. They deal with everyone in a nice way. But Shastram tells us that although they may be doing everything properly, you cannot still call them as they are good people. In the sense that only when a person has developed attraction for spiritual life, and only when one becomes serious in spiritual life, you can take it that he has developed some chitta-shuddhi inside. Some chitta-shuddhi has come to him. That is why he is able to develop, he is getting interested to hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or philosophical books in that way. That's only because that is the proof of that. Similarly, how do we know the accounts have all been settled with others? The proof of that is you will have sufficient vairagyam or renunciation inside that you will not want to turn back to this world again, and whole attention will move towards self-realization. That is the proof of that. That is the proof of that. So when that intense desire comes inside for spiritual life and self-realization, you can take it that your debts are all cleared. That's the proof of that. You can take it that all the debts are cleared. Otherwise, no. At that point, you can walk away and whatever situation one is in, whether you can leave everything. Whether you are married at that time or a child is born, you can leave all of that and walk away from there. But that is when the question comes, who will look after? At that time, the person who is leaving home, he has to have that understanding that yoga kshemam mahamyaham. Krishna is taking out that responsibility. Krishna is taking that responsibility. So, if you die suddenly, who is going to look after them? That is also another illusion, isn't it? Are we looking after our family whole lifetime and even after we die from this world? No. They will be looked after. That is Krishna's responsibility. But in our life in this world, to understand that certain subtle causes behind the relationships in this world, there is a lot of subtle reasons behind it. And it is only due to that destiny or the karma vasana behind it that has brought people together, all the family members. And when that account is settled, one can go. And the proof of that settlement of account is one will feel intense desire to leave home, and he will not turn back and look at this world again. Look at this world again. Because at that time you can take it, the jiva is completely independent. Independent. In other words, his accounts has been settled. Whatever you do after that is bondage in the karma. And I'm not willing to do that anymore. And completely independent. He can break away from the cage, and just like a lion which jumps out of the cage, he can break the cage and come out from that. And only at that point he is allowed to come out of it. Otherwise not. Before that, under no reason, he should not come out from his personal situation, whatever it may be. That is why Krishna is saying here, Bharta Shishroshanam Strinam Parodharmo Hyamayaya Tadbandhunam Jakalyanya Prajanam Chanuposhanam
ദുശീലോ ദുർഭഗോ വൃദ്ധോ ജഡോ രോഗ്യതനോപി വാ പതിസ്ത്രീഭിർനഹാതവ്യോ ലോകേപ്സു ലോകേപ്സുഭിരപാതകി അസ്വർഗമയസ്യം ച ഫൽഗോ കൃച്ഛ്രം ഭയാവഹം ജുഗുപ്സീം ച സർവത്ര ഔപപത്യം കുലസ്ത്രിയാഹ. സോ അസ്വർഗ്യം അയശസ്യം ച അസ്വർഗ്യം അയശസ്യം ച ഫൽഗോ കൃച്ഛ്രം ഭയാവഹം ജുഗുപ്സിതം ച സർവത്ര ഔപപത്യം കുലസ്ത്രിയാഹ. 26. സോ കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ടു ദം, പ്ലീസ് ഗോ ബാക്ക്, ഹി സേസ് ടു ദ ഗോപീസ് ആൻഡ് സ്റ്റേ ഹോം ആൻഡ് യു ക്യാൻ പെർഫോം യുവർ കീർത്തനം ജപം ഭജന എവറിഥിങ് അറ്റ് ഹോം ആൻഡ് യു വിൽ നോട്ട് എൻജോയ് യു വിൽ നോട്ട് ഡിറൈവ് ദ സെയിം ബെനിഫിറ്റ് ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് വെൻ യു ആർ വിത്ത് മീ. കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് ടു ദം, ദിസ് ഈസ് ആൾസോ അനദർ തിങ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് പോയിന്റിംഗ് ഔട്ട് ദെയർ, അനദർ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് പോയിന്റ്. ദിസ് ഈസ് ആൾസോ അനദർ റോൾ കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ. ഓൾദോ കൃഷ്ണ സെയ്സ് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ്, none of them apply to gopis. Keeping gopis as the listener, Krishna is talking to us. That's what it is. It's not applied to the gopis anymore. Gopis have gone beyond that stage. So Krishna is saying like here that the asvargyam ayashasyam ayashasyam cha, it will not take you to a higher world and will also bring a bad name for you. ഫൽഗോ കൃച്ഛ്രം ഭയാവഹം, ദാറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ബെനിഫിറ്റ് ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ജുഗുപ്സിതം ച സർവത്ര ഔപപത്യം കുലസ്ത്രിയാഹ. ജുഗുപ്സിതം, ഇറ്റ് വിൽ ബി വെരി ബാഡ്. ജുഗുപ്സിതം മീൻസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് വെരി റെക്കമെൻഡഡ്, റാദർ ഇറ്റ് വിൽ ബ്രിങ് ബാഡ് ഫെയിം, ബാഡ് റെപ്യൂട്ടേഷൻ ഫോർ യു. സർവത്ര ഔപപത്യം കുലസ്ത്രീയ, ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് അഡ്വൈസ്. ശ്രവണാദർശനധ്യാനാൻ വൈഭാവാനുകീർത്തനാൻ ന തഥാ സന്നികർഷേണ പ്രതിയാത തതോ ഗൃഹാൻ. ബട്ട് അതർവൈസ് ഇറ്റ് വിൽ ബ്രിങ് ബാഡ് നെയിം ഫോർ യു. ആൻഡ് ഹി ആൾസോ ഇൻസ്ട്രക്റ്റഡ്, കൃഷ്ണ ആൾസോ ഇൻസ്ട്രക്റ്റഡ് ദി ഗോപീസ് ടു ഗോ ബാക്ക് ബിക്കോസ് ഹി സേസ് ടു ദം ദാറ്റ് ശ്രവണാദർശനധ്യാനാൻ മൈഭാവോനുകീർത്തനാൻ, സ്റ്റേയിങ് അറ്റ് ഹോം ആൻഡ് ഹിയറിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് മീ ആൻഡ് ഓൾസോ meditating on my form and engaging in kirtanam is better than na tadha sannigarshena pratiyada tado grihan, that it will be staying with me here, it will be less effective in spiritually for you. By staying home you will make the progress much faster. That's how Krishna instructed them. Krishna instructed them. Why did he say like that? There is a reason behind that. So there is a statement that when you see Mahatmas, great personalities, there is a natural trend to go to them and to stay with them closer as possible, as closer as possible, taking instructions from them, paying obeisances to them, worshipping them. Those things are normally done in association, isn't it? But Krishna's point is, wherever we go, you shouldn't stay there for a very long time. Because when you get closer association like that, what will happen is, you will start seeing that person also as his body, as his body. And just like we see our body, we and identify with the body, we will start seeing him also as a body and start identifying with his body. This will happen. This example is very important because it has happened all the time throughout history. You will see this. Many great devotees, even if they are in the association of great souls, they will keep a little distance from them. The reason being that they do not want to see that understanding what they have about this Mahatma, whom they have seen as a great soul. But due to bodily connection, when the bodily attachment develops, it is quite natural that you will lose that identity as the soul. Just like we discussed yesterday also, isn't it? Spiritual master, once you start seeing him as the body, you will lose the respect as the body, as a spiritual master. Then the relationship will come to a mundane level. You'll start treating him like a friend and start dealing with him in that way. These are the dangers in spiritual life. That is why Krishna uses the word there. Natada sannigarshena. Sannigarsha means that closeness on a bodily level. That is that sannigarsham. In another place in the Bhagavatam, Krishna mentions that sannigarshena matyanam anadarana karanam. It will turn into disobeying him, or it will turn into not giving proper respect to the people. These things will happen. That is why he says here that initially you may have one relationship with the person, but later on it will go away and it will turn into another relationship with him. So, and they are not responsible for that. That's only due to the ajnanam in us, our ignorance in us. And because of the ignorance in us and the inspiration, what you have received from them, and all the strength what you got from him for your spiritual life, then everything, encouragement, everything will dry up very soon. Will dry up very soon when you start dealing with them on a bodily level. That's why Krishna is saying there, Shravana darshana dhyanan mai bhavana kirtanan nadada sannigarshena pratiyadato grihan. Therefore, Krishna is saying to gopis, you should go home, not stay with me. It is not that it's not going to happen to the gopis or to Krishna. But as a general instruction in spiritual life, Krishna is saying to us that if you are in association with a Mahatma or a great soul, always take it like this, that you can stay with him for sufficient time, but not always be cautious. This one point, that as soon as you start seeing him as the body and start relating with him in the bodily level, then you will lose all the inspiration and all the strength what you have derived from that person in your spiritual life. It will dry up. So what is the reason for that? Reason for that is sannigarsham. That is the word, sannigarsham. When you start giving importance to the bodily closeness or bodily connections, then body is shariram and the soul inside is shariri. Shariram is the body and shariri is the soul. When the attachment on a bodily level builds closer, builds stronger, the attachment towards the antaryami or shariri will go away. That attachment will break up. That attachment will break up. That is the principle. That is the principle. If on a bodily relationship, if you develop with anybody, close relationship, particularly in the spiritual field, that relationship will suffer because it comes to the bodily level, and that relationship on a spiritual level will break away, will break up from that. That is why it's mentioned that while dealing with Mahatma's great personalities, one should be very, very careful, careful. And you should go only that far as you should. So, therefore, as long as you associate with someone knowing very well that bodily closeness is not the important one, if you develop that way, the relationship, then it is not harmful. It is not harmful. That is why Krishna is saying here, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Dhyanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, all those things, executing them at home, they are more important than being situated closely to Krishna. Being situated closely to Krishna. Sometimes we can see some people will be very close to some Mahatmas in this world. They are considered to be Tandalar Mandugam. That's what they call it. In other words, there is the a lotus flower and the stem of the lotus flower. So, in that stem of the lotus flower, under the lotus flower, the frog is sitting there. The frog does not know the beauty of the lotus flower, and it cannot enjoy that. Similarly, it will come to that stage. That you may be very close to the Mahatmas, but at the same time, because you will start losing that respect for him, and because on a bodily level your relationship starts getting closer, that means on an antaryami level, on a spiritual level, that importance will fade at that time. So, just like they give the example, when you keep a lamp burning there, right underneath the lamp, there will be darkness.
in the similarly. So that is why Krishna is saying to the gopis, go somewhere in solitude and stay there, or stay at home, saying that when they said this, gopis got very upset. And that is why the next few verses, what the gopis say.
Shri Shuka Uvacham Iti Priyamavakarnyam Gopyo Govinda Bhashidam Vishanna Bhagna Sangalpas Chindama Purdurateyam Krutva Mukhanyo Shuja Shusanena Shushyat Bimbhadarani Charanena Bhuvam Likhandyam Asrairu Vatamashabi Kuchakongumani Tastur Mrajandyam Uridukha Budhasmatushnim Prashtam Priyedaramiva Pradipashamanam Krishnam Nadartha Vinivartita Sarvadamam Netraivamujya Ruditobaha Desma Kinjal Samrambha Gadgadagiro Bhruvadanurektaha.
Shuka Brahmarshi Sudeva Goswami is saying there in these three verses, in these three verses he is saying to them that when Krishna mentioned all these things, the gopis got very upset and they put their head down and stood there like that. Why? Inside they felt extreme unhappiness, and they started trembling, and at the same time their eyes were filled with tears, and the ointment what they have put in their eyes, due to tears it has started spreading all over the face, on the cheeks, everywhere. So
Prashtam Priyetaramiva Pradibhashamanam,
that is what is important there. The Sukha Brahmashri says there, gopis are thinking like this,
Prashtam Priyetaramiva Pradibhashamanam,
that Krishna, who is so dear to them, Krishna who is very very dear to them, is speaking to us now like though he is our enemy. That's how he is talking to us. And he has attracted us so much and invited us all. When he played that flute, it was an invitation for us to come. And we have we have thrown away everything, all our family life, our home, our children, everything, even our karma we have given up, everything we have given up, and we have come here. And that is what so when Krishna said this to the gopis, look at the gopis' reply.
Shri Gopya Uchum Meivam Viporhati Bhavan Gaditam Risham Sam Sandanja Sarva Vishayam Stamapadam Ulam Bhakta Bhajasva Duravagrahama Tejasvan Devo Yathadi Purusho Bhajade Mumukshun Yalpatya Bhakti Sukhradam Anivurti Rangam Srinam Sudharma Iti Dharma Vida Twayuktam Asteva Meda Dubadesha Made Twayishe Preshto Bhavam Tanubudo Kila Bandhura Alma.
So he says here that the
Naivam Viborhati Bhavan Gaditam Rishamsam Sandanja Sarva Vishayam Stavapadamulam Bhakta Bhajasva Duravagrahama Tejasman Devo Yadadi Purusho Bhajade Mumukshun.
Gopi says to Krishna, what you have spoken to us now is very, very harsh, because we are right candidates for liberation. We have, because more or less, you can see gopi's present state of consciousness is like someone who has come to take sannyasam, isn't it? They have given up their connections with form, thrown away everything, and all attachment at home to the house as well as to the other family members, like parents, husbands, children, brothers, all connections they have completely broken. They have all given up all their responsibilities at home, karmam. They have given up all that. They did not want to do it anymore. Added to that, and then they have come here to associate with Krishna. And their question is this, that we have given up everything and we have come and you are asking us to go back. Is that not against your own law? If that is like that, you will have to change Bhagavad Gita. That is their argument to Krishna.
Naivam Viborhati Bhavan Gaditam Rishamsam Sandhinja Sarva Vishayam Stava Padamulam Bhakta Bhajasya Duravagrahama Tejasman
ദേവോ യഥാതി പുരുഷോ പജതേ മുമുക്ഷുൻ. സോ സംടൈംസ് വെൻ ദർ ഈസ് നോ റെയിൻ ഇൻ എസ്പെഷ്യലി ഇൻ ദ ഡ്രൈ വെദർ ഇൻ ഹോട്ട് കൺട്രീസ് പീപ്പിൾ വിൽ ബി ഡിസൈറിംഗ് ടു ഹാവ് സം റെയിൻ ഡിസൈറിംഗ് ടു ഹാവ് സം റെയിൻ ആൻഡ് ദേ ആർ ലുക്കിംഗ് അറ്റ് ദ സ്കൈ എവറി ടൈം സീയിങ് വെൻ ദി ക്ലൗഡ്സ് when the clouds are going to come together and when the rains are likely to come. Generally farmers are doing that always, isn't it? So, and they will be praying for the rain to come because with the rain's arrival, they feel that they will have a proper agriculture is easier and also water for their daily usage and also a relief from the heat, all these things. And they are waiting and waiting when the rain is going to come. Suddenly, the whole sky became very dark, and you could see all the dark clouds have come, and it appears as though it's going to rain at any moment. You can see that when it happens, isn't it? When the clouds all come together, and it's very dark, and it looks, appears as though it's going to rain at any moment. But suddenly, the strong winds have come and took all the clouds away from there, and the sky became clear again and it didn't rain. How much you will feel the distress. Similarly, gopis have come to see Krishna and they have come to associate with Krishna because that was what they wanted in their life. They had given up all other connections in this world. And here, comparison is, Krishna is like that blue cloud who had come and we are waiting here and we have come to associate with Krishna. Just like the rain was going to happen, but suddenly the rain didn't happen. It has gone away. Nityananda Sudhe Nidhehe. So this Krishna's comparison of Krishna is like from eternal bliss, the ocean of eternal bliss, a cloud has come out and that is Krishna. And that blue, darkish, bluish cloud is standing here in Vrindavanam on the banks of the river Yamuna. And standing there, and the gopis have come there to associate with Krishna there, and with a great desire. And suddenly, this cyclone has happened. The words what Krishna has spoken. That was his cyclone. And it's just like that strong wind is going to take everything away from them. And that is what it is mentioned here. Sandhyanja sarva vishayan. You can see. Sandhyanja sarva vishayam stava padamulam. Tavapadamulam. They are saying to Krishna, Sandhinja Sarvavishayan, we have given up all our attachment in this world and we have come here. So you will see the word used there, Vishayam. Vishayam means, so what does Vishayam means? What is that thing that takes us away from Krishna? That is all Vishayam. Vishayam means that. Normal our nature is to be peacefully situated, isn't it? Shanti. Shanti is our true nature. Shanti is our true nature. But you can observe one thing, you will observe one thing, that normal nature is Shanti or peace inside. But when anger comes, I lose the peace and I become anger. Is it not? When you can notice yourself, that whenever anger happens in a person, we become the anger. We are not anymore Shanti, isn't it? Shanti is our normal state, peacefulness inside. Om Shanti, 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 we say. So Shanti is our original nature. By nature, the soul is in Shanti. But when anger comes, or lust comes, or greed comes, we become that emotion. We become that, isn't it? Either anger or lust or envy. If envy comes, we become the envy also. So that is why yam kurvande vishayinam iti vishayaham. So that is what vishayam means. Yam kurvande vishayinam iti vishayaha. This is the Acharya's bhashyam. Yam kurvande vishayinam iti vishayaha. That thing, what makes you that, is called vishayam. It's called vishayam. Yam kurvandi iti vishayinam vishayaha. That is what thing that makes you that thing. The thing that makes you that thing is that called vishayam. For example, if it's anger, if it makes you anger,
If you identify with the anger, naturally you will identify with the anger. You lose your shanti, shanti goes away, anger takes over. And then you become the anger. You are the anger then. Similarly, you are the lust, you are the greed, or you are the envy, or jealousy, or whatever that is there. So gopis are saying to Krishna, we didn't get caught up in this any of these emotions, and we have come here. Sandhyanja sarva vishayan, gopis are saying to Krishna, all vishayams we have given up. And bhakta bhajasya duravagrahama tyajasman, then we are devotees and we have come to you. And if you don't agree with us, then you change Bhagavad Gita, they are saying. Because what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Sarva dharman parityajya mamegam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami ma shucha. That is Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. So gopis are saying to Krishna that if you think that why we have come here in that state, sarva dharman parityajya, all dharma we have given up. We were married women. We have given up the wife of the stri dharma we have given up. We had a responsibility at home towards the parents and children. We have given up their dharmam also. All dharmam as women, they have given up. Stri dharmam. They have given up everything. And we have come. And Krishna is saying, sarva dharmam parityajya mamega, and we have taken your shelter also. And still you are saying, telling us to go back. That means your words in the Bhagavad Gita must be changed. This is their words to Krishna. Because it doesn't make sense. You are saying one thing, but you are acting in a different way. Gopis caught Krishna at that point and says, bhakta bhajas sudureva graham. That so therefore, in this Srishti Sambandham, in other words, it says here that examples are given that somebody mentioned to one person that I'll marry you, and brought her to the street and left her there and gone away. So similarly, you have shown some mercy to us before, and you have told us to give up everything to come here, and now we have come. Now we have come. And same thing devotees also say to Krishna. While chanting the holy name, you have pulled me towards you. Krishna has pulled us towards Krishna. And nobody can say anything about it, because we got attracted to the chanting Hare Krishna, and Krishna has pulled us towards Krishna. And we have given up everything, and you are telling me that you go back, don't come to me. Why have I chanted Hare Krishna all these years then? That is the same question here. So in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see in the 12th chapter, there is a verse there, 8th verse. Mayeva mana athatswa, mayi buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mayeva, adha urdhvam nasamshaya. Krishna is saying there in the 12th chapter, which is Bhakti Yoga, there is a verse there, 8th verse. Mayeva mana athatswa, mayi buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mayeva, adha urdhvam nasamshaya. So, just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, engage all your intelligence in me, thus you will live in me always without a doubt. There is a statement in the Bhagavad Gita like that. So, you have said all these things in the Bhagavad Gita, and we have given up everything, and we have come here, and you are Bhaktva Bhajaswam Duravagrahama Tyajasman Devo Yadadi Purusho Bhajade Mumukshun. In the Bhagavad Gita, in several places, you will see this statement from Krishna. Yayadhamam Prabhadyandi Tamstadaiva Bhajamyaham. Isn't it? Tamstadaiva Bhajamyaham. So, normally, this one thing, one has to be a little bit clear about this, what Krishna is saying there. People go to Krishna with a lot of various desires inside, isn't it? They will say, and Krishna gives them, if they deserve it, they give that also. So, if they want children, they'll give them children. If they want to get married, they'll give them marriage. Money they want, they'll give them money. If they want position in this world, they'll give the position also. And same person, if he keeps on asking one after the other, because the list is endless, isn't it? List is endless. So, In our own life, when somebody keep on asking you all the time, something or the other, you'll get angry one day. Isn't it? This is becoming a headache, you will say. Like that. So same thing. There was a very famous story about that. Kribayanda Varier, he used to say about this incident. In a famous temple called Tirthani, where Subramanya is worshipped there, there was a young boy who lived close to the temple. And he went to school and he wanted to have a lot of happiness in life, in his material life. So he started worshipping Lord Subramanya there very intensely. First he wanted that he should come out with good results in his examination, whatever he was studying for. So he got it. He prayed for that, he got it. He got it. And then he went for higher education and came out with the higher education also. He was praying to the Lord and Lord sanctioned that also. He got that. And then he wanted a good position, a job in a big position in the government. He was asking for it, praying for it. He got that as well. And the next thing he did was, he asked that he want to get married now, because everything is ready for that now. He wanted to get married. So he wanted to find a good wife for him so that there could be a happy married life. He was praying for that. By Lord's arrangement, that also happened. That also happened. And then after the marriage, they wanted to have a child. So in a few years time, they had child also. So everything, whatever he was desiring, he was praying for it and he was getting it also. He was getting it also. And then after a while, one day, he had gone to some temples around and he had some cash with him. There was a lot of poor people sitting outside the temple who had nothing. They were very, very poor. So he thought that since he is going to the temple, he should give some donation, some charity to the poor people who are sitting there. So he had a lot of coins with him. A lot of coins with him. Didn't want to give anything in a big way. He wanted to make it as small as possible. So he took this cash with him and he told them all to sit in a line and he gave them coins one after the other to everybody. A few coins he started distributing. So it suddenly so happened that one of them broke the queue, just like it happens in India. They broke the queue and came out and they all started asking for the same person who has got money before. He started coming again second time and started. So this man told him that, I've given you before, why have you come back again? He said, I've given you before, why have you come back again? So the next day when he went to Tirthani, to the temple in Subramanya Swami temple there, when he goes there, the deity told the pujari, tell him I'm not here. I'll only come back when he leaves this place. All along the life he has been asking me, I never asked him, why have you come back again? But when he was distributing these petty coins here to these poor people, as soon as they come back second time, he started asking them, why have you come back second time? Whereas in his case, I have never shown restrictions. I have always given him what he has asked for. So this is our position in this world. That as far as Krishna is concerned, we think we have to get everything from Krishna. But as far as giving to Krishna is concerned, we think, oh, let me see if it is worthwhile giving to Krishna or not. We make a big decision after a lot of thoughts behind it. So that is why it's mentioned here. Dharmam, Krishna is saying here. He says, I never got angry with you when you asked so many things from him. Same person, he keeps coming again and again and asking the same thing. So whatever the desire is there, it is fulfilled at that point. So Krishna says here that yatravaya sangalpaha tad abhisambhadyade. That is a statement. Abhisambhadyade, whatever according to your sangalpam inside, accordingly the mercy comes and the results are also given. According to the strength of your sangalpam. Because Krishna says, when one who has no sangalpam inside, even for the sangalpam for liberation, when he comes, Krishna says,
I would like to meet him. I would like to meet him. Anyone who has got any sankalpam, Krishna is frightened about him. Krishna is frightened about him. That is why Krishna always hides from people who have got desires inside, who have got unlimited desires. Because if I see you, you will ask me something. So I may as well hide. So some people like that. They think that if I go to the temple, I should ask something. Otherwise, what's the point in coming all the way here? Something I should ask Krishna. Otherwise, what's the point in coming here? So in this way, so Krishna is also tired of this. Pahimam, pahimam, palayamam, palayamam, dehi, dehi. We keep saying this, and Krishna says here, I am completely tired of this asking business. Nirabeksham munim shandam, nurvairam samadarshinam, anubrajamyaham nityam, puyeye tyangri renubhi. In the Bhagavatam, that is why Krishna is saying, among all the qualities of the devotees, nirabeksham, one who does not ask for anything, I consider him as a devotee. Consider him as a devotee. Because he does not know that I am maintaining everyone. I am maintaining everyone. And what he deserves, he will get it. He doesn't have to ask for it. So, that is why he says here. So, Krishna not only says that, I follow such devotees. Krishna says, anivrajamyaham nityam puyaye tyangri renubhi. And I will not move away from there. Why does he walk? Because Krishna says, I take the dust from their feet and put it on my head in order to purify myself. So, and Krishna says like that. And he also, yayadhamam prabhadyande tamstadaiva bhajamyaham. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita also. So, how we have surrendered to Krishna, accordingly Krishna will manifest in us, manifest in front of us. According to our surrender, that is the key behind it. That how much we have surrendered to Krishna, how much we have taken Krishna's words seriously, Bhagavad Gita as well as Srimad Bhagavatam, how far we have taken it seriously, accordingly experience of Krishna also. So, so they are saying here, Sandhinja sarva vishayan stava padamoolam Bhakta bhajasya duravagrahama tyajasman. We have come here, he says, Sandhinja sarva vishayan stava padamoolam. Our duty before was to look after our husbands, our children, our family, everything. And this business we have started for a very, very long time. Gopis are saying to Krishna, this business of looking after husband, looking after children, looking after the other members in the family, running the home, all this business we have done for a very, very long time. And in how many lifetimes, how many husbands, how many children, how many relatives, and so many people we looked after in so many lifetimes. And we have taken their responsibility also. We had enough. That's what the gopis are saying. Gopis are saying here, if you look into the verse 32, that's what they are saying. Yal patya patya sukhadamani vritti rangam srinam sodharma iti dharmavidatva yoktam asya eva medam ubadesha badetu ishe preshto bhavam stani brudo kila bendhura alpman. Gopis are saying to Krishna, Yal patya patya sukhadam anivritti rangam srinam sodharmam iti dharmavidatva yoktam Asevamedabed Upadesha Bade Tuyishe Preshto Bhavam Tanibram Gila Bandhura Alpman. That is a very important verse. Gopis are making conscious of Krishna that in so many lifetimes we have done this business. And we have not studied any great shastram, Dharma Shastram or any other shastram we have not studied. But you have told and we have done that in all these lifetimes. And they are calling Krishna as Anga. You can see there the word Anga. So, for women, they have responsibility towards the husband, towards the children, towards the relative. They have some responsibility towards them. And you are telling us, gopis are saying to Krishna, Krishna, you are telling us that we have responsibility for all of them. You are telling us that. Isn't it? Gopis are saying to Krishna, because Krishna has told them that you have responsibility at home towards the husband, towards the parents towards the children and other members in the family. You are telling us that. But our response to that is,
Yal patya patya sukhrdam anuvritti rangam sthrinam sodharma iti dharma vidhatvaya oktam.
Leave that behind. Gopi says to him, we know who you are. How? Because in the Vedam, the statement is, Matra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Adhiti Devo Bhava. These are all in the statements in the Upan Vedam. And what does it all mean? It means that Matra Devo Bhava, worship mother as the Devata, Devata form, and worship her. Similarly, father, Acharya, the guest, all of them, guest in the house, they should all be worshipped as though the Devadas have come home. And that Devada is a Sangalpam, or different personalities in the Devadas, like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, all of them, all the Devadas, that Sangalpam, it is that understanding that we have to see the mother, father, and the teacher, and the Acharya, and the guests, all of them in the same way, as though they are the representatives of that Devada. So, and that Deva is coming and standing in front of us. Krishna is standing there, isn't it? He is standing there, and who is the root of all these things? Who is the root of all these things? And Shruti is telling us, the root of everything else is the soul. The soul is the root of everything. From the soul, everything has come. And Upanishads are saying that you are not loving somebody for the sake of loving him because you love yourself. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad will say this in a very detailed explanation gives there. If you look into Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it mentions that why do we love each other?
Saho vacham nava are patyu kamaya patihi priyo bhavadi atmanastu kamaya patihi priyo bhavadi.
First thing. That you love your husband, not that you love him, but you love yourself. That is the first thing. See how the sages understand the root of all the love. Where it's coming from? Where is it directed to? What is the source where it's coming from?
Almanastu kamayam are patyu kamaya padihi priyo bhavati. Kamaya padihi priyo bhavati.
Husband is very dear to us, for the woman. The husband is very dear to her.
Almanastu kamaya padihi priyo bhavati.
Because that husband is actually the soul who is present there in that form.
Almanastu kamaya padihi priyo bhavati. Nava are jayaye kamaya jaya priya bhavati. Almanastu kamaya jaya priya bhavati.
Same thing with the wife. Husband feels attachment to the wife. Not that he likes her, but he likes himself. He likes his soul. That is where when we love somebody, the love is not coming from that person. Love is coming from inside us, from the soul. It's coming there. The source of that feeling, priyam, or love, or happiness that we are experiencing at that time, the source of that is the soul and not from that person. That is the important point.
Nava are jayaye kamaya jaya priya bhavadi. Atmanastu kamaya jaya priya bhavadi. Nava are putranam kamaya putraha priya bhavandi. Atmanastu kamaya putraha priya bhavandi.
Then when we see the children, own children, and you see some happiness when you see them, and love for them, and that love, it says here, priya bhavandi.
Atmanastu kamaya putraha priya bhavandi.
That is from coming from the soul. It's not coming from the... And because we love ourselves, our own soul, so much, that we feel happiness at that time.
Similarly, nava are vittasya kamaya vitte priyam bhavadi, atmanastu kamaya vittam priyam bhavadi.
Wealth, cash or money or whatever, when you see and feel happiness at that time, when you get it, where is the happiness coming from? It's also coming from inside.
Kamaya vittam priyam bhavadi. Nava are brahmana kamaya brahma priyam bhavadi, atmanastu kamaya brahma priyam bhavadi. Nava are kshatrasya kamaya ക്ഷത്രം പ്രിയം ഭവതി ആത്മനസ്തു കാമായ ക്ഷത്രം പ്രിയം ഭവതി നമാ ഹരേ ലോകാനാം കാമായ ലോകാഃ പ്രിയാ ഭവന്തി ആത്മനസ്തു കാമായ ലോകാഃ പ്രിയാ ഭവന്തി നമാ ഹരേ ദേവാനാം കാമായ ദേവാഃ പ്രിയാ ഭവന്തി ആത്മനസ്തു കാമായ ദേവാഃ പ്രിയാ ഭവന്തി നമാ ഹരേ ഭൂതാനാം കാമായ ഭൂതാനി പ്രിയാണി ഭവന്തി ആത്മനസ്തു കാമായ ഭൂതാനി പ്രിയാണി ഭവന്തി നമാ ഹരേ സർവസ്യ കാമായ സർവപ്രിയം ഭവന്തി ആത്മനസ്തു കാമായ സർവപ്രിയം ഭവന്തി. Similarly, that priyam that comes from inside, that is the cause of that happiness what we experience, and that is because atma va, atma is one what is where it is all coming from, the atma or the soul. Therefore Yajnavalkyan says to Maitreyi, atma va are drashtavya shrodavya mandavya nididhyasidavyo Maitreyi. Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Maitreyi, therefore Atma or the soul is the one thing, drashtavya mandavya nididhyasidavya. Atma alone should be taken seriously, Atma alone should be heard about, and Atma alone should be meditated upon, and Atma alone should be taken refuge or shelter ആത്മനോ വാ അരേ ദർശനേന ശ്രവണേന മധ്യ വിജ്ഞാനീതം സർവം വിദിതം. ത്രൂ ടു ദാറ്റ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് വിജ്ഞാനം റിയലൈസേഷൻ വിൽ കം ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് റിഫ്ലക്ഷൻ. ത്രൂ ഹിയറിംഗ് റിഫ്ലക്ഷൻ ആൻഡ് മെഡിറ്റേഷൻ ഓൾ ദിസ് ഈസ് നോൺ ബൈ ദിസ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ. സേസ് ദിസ് ഈസ് ഫ്രം ദി ബൃഹദാരണ്യ ഉപനിഷത്ത്, ഇറ്റ് മെൻഷൻസ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്. സോ ഹിയർ യു കെൻ അനലൈസ് ദിസ് ദി സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ്സ് ഇൻ ദി ഉപനിഷത്ത്സ് ആൻഡ് സി how true they are in our own life. Before marriage, man and woman didn't know each other. They didn't know each other. And they got married, and then relationship got built up. A relationship was built up at that time. And in between, if they break up and one goes away, the other person will feel depressed and cry for some time. But if you have noticed, after a while that also goes, is it not? It doesn't last very long. For a short period of time you feel depressed, everything. Then after a long few years you may even forget him or forget her. And not only that, if you want to bring back that same distress what you felt on the day when it happened, if you want that to bring it back, you won't be able to do it. What does that indicate? Think through that, you will see that the relationships are all like that. When you are concerned about your soul at that point, because of your attachment to the soul, from where the priyam has come, so even if you want to feel depressed like that the first day when the separation happened, even if you want that to happen, it won't happen anymore. Why is that? Reason. Then even if you see that person again, you don't feel that connection anymore with that person. This is to show to us that prem what you have experienced was not coming from that person. It was coming, the source was from the soul. Source is from the soul. Because it was coming from the soul, in the beginning when the separation happened, up to that point you are thinking that person is my happiness, source of happiness, that person is related with me, I have some attachment for that person, not knowing the happiness was actually coming from inside, from the soul, and we developed a relationship with that person. When the person leaves, then after a while the whole attachment goes away, and it only stays in the memory for some time, and even that may go one day. And if you see that person again, you don't feel that same attachment what you felt before. You never comes back again. Even if you want to recreate that, it won't be possible. The whole thing is pointing out to us that priyam is not because of the person. Priyam is something that's coming from the soul. From that, because it's coming from there, immediately you feel attachment to someone, some relationship in your own mind, you have created that attachment, and priyam that has come from there, which comes from the soul. So that intensity, even if you want it, it will not happen. It will not happen. Even if you keep a photograph and meditate on that photograph, it won't happen. Isn't it? Because the reality is, to tell you the absolute level, on a perfect level, we have no connection with anybody in this world. This is the truth. We have no connection with anybody in this world. This is the truth. And because we don't know that, Sangam, what we feel that Sangam connection, it's what is known as Brahman. It's only an illusion inside. And this is that Sangam is a Maya's another way of trapping us in that. So just like you can see, sometimes, first time, when the girls get married, after the marriage, first time when they get married, they will be very hesitant to go to the husband's house, isn't it? They are very reluctant to go. They are very reluctant to go. They will say that, first they will deny that they are not going to get married. They will say like this. And then they will say that I am not going to leave father and mother. I don't want to go to somebody else's house and live there. And when after the marriage, when they go to the husband's home, they will go crying, oh, I am going to leave my father, mother, everybody, and I am going to somebody else's house. And they will feeling very, they will cry and they will go. Initially, the first time, it will be like that. And they, when they go there first time, they will not stay. They will come back now and then. After the first few days, they will come back again for a few days to stay at home and go back. It goes on like that. So after that, say after a year or two, when they come to visit again, you tell them, why don't you stay for a few days? They'll say, oh no, I can't, because husband must be waiting there for me. I have to go back. The whole thing was completely switched to the other side. All this attachment, love, affection here for so many years, in a few days time, the whole plate has turned into the other side. Now if you ask them to stay home, they won't stay. They say, oh, we have got so many things to do there. He must be waiting for me. I have got to cook. I have to do the shopping. I have to do so many things. I'll see when I can make it. That will be the next reply from there. So this is, what is this relationship in this world? So, so here, so, all these things are, everybody knows this thing. This is all in practical life. We see this all the time, isn't it? So, asakti, asakti or attachment, it doesn't have to be given up. When the time comes, it will go. In its own way, it will go from us. And Upanishads also say there, Upanishad statement on this is, asangoyam, 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 puna puna. Purusha or the soul inside, he has no sangam anywhere. He has no sangam anywhere. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna, sachidanandarupoham, ahameva ahamavyayam. This is the statement in the Upanishads about the soul. Asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam. He has no connection anywhere. We feel as though we have connection everywhere. That is just a illusion in our mind that we have picked up in this world, on which we have become very, very serious. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna. And then what are we? Sachidananda rupoham. Satachitanandam is my form. Aham eva aham avyayam. I am not someone whom you can write me off because I always exist. Aham eva aham avyayam. Aham is always there. So, and another thing with this soul, if you try to stick it to, stick to something, it cannot stick. This is the problem with the soul. The individual inside, even if you try to stick that to something, it cannot stick. After a while it will come. It is not a very good adhesive. It will come off from there. That is the nature of the soul. That's the nature of the soul. So just like in the this vastu inside, it cannot have sangam towards anyone. Just like it's still the role it has taken, like in the drama, sometimes somebody has to dress up in some particular actor or actress. Till the role is over, that he has to play that role, isn't it? Actor or actress, he has to play that role, or she has to play that role. But once the role is finished, the drama is over, he comes out,
then what is there? He doesn't think anymore about that role what he has played, isn't it? And that is actually the reality with the soul. Soul is like that. Role, once the role is over, it doesn't have anything to do after that. So by knowing that, what is the benefit? By knowing this, the benefit is that Swarupam is our important point, not our bodily identity. Swarupam is more important, soul is more important, Krishna is more important. And so they mention here, we recognize all these things, gopis are saying to Krishna. Yalpatya patya sukhradam anivruttirangam strinam sodharma iti dharma vidatvayoktam astu eva meda dubadesha pade tvayishe presto bhavam stanubhridam gila bandhuralmam. So pointing it out to us that husband is not the dear to us. Not for the sake of the husband that I am loving the husband. Not for the sake of the wife I am loving the wife. There is no selfishness, don't take it in that way. That is the way we are. The soul is like that. That is the nature of the soul. It is not selfishness. It should not be misunderstood that way. That, oh, he is selfish, that's why he doesn't love me and all that. Don't say like that. That's not the reason behind it. Reason behind that is the soul has no attraction towards anything else. But when priyam comes from inside, you feel some object who is in front of you, you feel the attachment towards that object. That's all it is. But in the modern world, we make it in a different way, isn't it? Some people are saying they are married here, they'll go to the heavens and they'll be married there again, and life after life, they'll be husband and wife and all kinds of things. It's nothing, nowhere in the Shastram it's spoken like that. It is when looking at the way gopis are explaining to us that these relationships in this world and these responsibilities in this world, this we have done several lifetimes. Now gopis are saying, we have come to you. And what does that mean? When gopis have come to Krishna, what does that mean? They are saying to the Krishna that Preshto bhavam stanubhridam kila bandhuratma. Preshto bhavan tanubhridam kila bandhuratma. That this relationship with others is only because of Krishna's presence in them. And I have come to the source now. If I have come to the source where this is all coming from, why do I have to go and get involved with all other personalities in this world? This is Gopi's question to Krishna. Because that statement in the Brihadaranyakaniṣad says like this, feeling love and affection towards someone, it's only because Krishna is inside. Inside this, from there, when he sanctions, the love comes and goes towards the other person. Similarly with everybody else in this world. Because it's like that, now I have come to the source itself. Krishna is that source, isn't it? And when I come to the source, you are asking me to go to them. What is the justification? That's the gopi's question. Preshto bhavam tanibhradam gila bandhura altma. All these bandhu, so-called relatives. Preshto bhavam tanibhradam gila bandhura altma. That you are the relations. You are in the form of all these relations. You are the soul of everyone. And we have come to you. And you are asking us to go there. That is the gopi's logic behind it. You will notice there one statement. Almava are preshta tamasi karma shai. This is not in the Bhagavatam. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Almava are preshta tamasi karma shai. That means, Yajnavalkya Maharshi says, that almave, actually alma is the most important thing. The soul. That is what is causing all these experiences in this world. Because of the presence of the soul inside, we experience all these things in this world. The love, the hate, the anger, everything is coming, the source is the soul, from where everything is coming from. So, this preshta word, it is in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Gopis have taken that very word and used it here. You can see there. Preshto bhavam tanibhradam kila bandhura altmam. Yalpatya patya sukhrudam anivruttirangam
സ്ത്രീണാം സ്വധർമ്മ ഇതി ധർമ്മവിധാ ത്വയോക്തം അസ്ത്വേവമേദം ഉപദേശമതേ ത്വയീശേ പ്രേഷ്ടോ ഭവാം തനുഭൃതം കില ബന്ധുരാത്മാം. തനുഭൃതം മീൻസ് ബോഡി. സോ വൺ ഹു ഹാസ് ഗോട്ട് എ ബോഡി ഫോർ ഹിം body is not the dear thing. Body is not the dear thing because actually nobody enjoys the body. The truth is nobody enjoys the body. And you can say this again, in Upanishads it's spoken again, see everything as the soul, because this instruction is one thing many people who are executing spiritual life in sadhana, they get misguided here at this point, because they will think that about the soul, they will imagine like this, it is some kind of light or something like that, they will imagine themselves about the soul. They will imagine something like that. Actually, what we see in this world is only the soul. It is the soul that we are seeing here. That understanding has to come, because this seeing is a very trouble. Is a word that causes a lot of trouble, seeing. Why? Because if I give you an example, you will understand this. Maya will make us to forget everything. Let's look at this example. Husband and wife, they got married 30 years ago. And you can see one thing. They have a relationship with each other, between the husband and the wife. And they are changing in their body, both of them. Husband is changing the body and the wife is also changing the body. 25-30 years have gone, but the relationship hasn't changed. Body has changed, relationship hasn't changed. How they have related each other in the beginning, husband is still thinking, I am dealing with that person, wife. Wife is still thinking, I am dealing with that husband, same husband. In their understanding, it is like that. I am dealing with the same person. Both the husband and the wife has changed. 30 years time is a long time to change this body, isn't it? Even if you accept this modern science, they say 7 years time you have changed the body. So 30 years time, 4 times you have changed the whole body. So from there you can see, in your experience, it hasn't changed. You are still dealing with the same person. Husband is thinking, I am dealing with the same wife. Wife is thinking, I am dealing with the same husband. Isn't it? So why is it like that? Since the body has changed, that means that relationship between the husband and the wife was not through the body. Actually, it was not through the body. It was happening there because Alma inside, his relationship is like that. It's always like that. So the body has changed its shape. So the shape of body has completely changed. But in their experience, it is the same taste. They still have the same taste, same relationship. So if it is in the bodily level, at every moment, our mood must change. Like the body has changed, our mood also has to change. But in practice, it looks that it is not changing. It's not changing, isn't it? That you had some relationship, husband had a relationship with the wife, or wife had a relationship with the husband. You still think that person is my wife, or she thinks he is my husband. They think like that. But on what level are they thinking that? Are they based on the body? Certainly not, because body has changed. So from the level of the spirit soul, relationships are built on a completely, not on the bodily level at all. It's never on the bodily level. So, in other words, our body, what it sees, it doesn't have any relationship with what it sees. Only thing is, it is relating with something else. That's all it is. So, actually, what is creating that relationship between two people is the soul. Is the soul. But the thing what you see is the body. Soul you don't see. You only see the body. So what you see all the time, we have no relationship with that. And what you have a relationship, you don't see. That's how it works.
You see?
The person with whom we are relating and whom we are seeing, we think as the person we are seeing, we have no relationship there. But the relationship is what we don't see.
What we don't see.
The relationship is what we don't see. So, similarly, what you relate to each other, you can't see. You can't see. So, this is the problem. What you see, relate to each other, you can't see. The soul relates with the soul. Soul relates with the soul. Body relates with the body. Body relates with the body. Body is what it is seeing. That's what I am saying, that the word seeing is a very confusing word. It's not seeing actually. The relationship between the husband and the wife is like that. That they have changed their bodies over a period of time. 30, 40 years time, body has changed so much. But still that relationship between the husband and the wife is still there, able to convince themselves that one is a husband, one is a wife. And that relationship tends to go on like that. How is that possible? That's only because of this. Then what you see and what you relate has no connection between them. What you see and what you relate with has no connection each other. What you relate with, it cannot see that. And what you see cannot relate with. You can see somebody, but you can't relate with that person. But you can't relate with that person. So this is why in the Upanishads this statement that knowing that the thing that is making the relationship is the soul, and knowing that is very important, that the relationship is built up between the soul. So in all living entities, when one sees the soul like that, and when we see them, and when you feel a relationship with that, you should know that it is on the spiritual level, it is happening. Not only with other persons, even with other living entities also. That's the only way we will get rid of all the other misunderstanding from inside. Just like when you see a dog, or when you see a cat, or any other animal for that matter. The important point Krishna mentions there, isn't it? Why does he say that? Because to come to that spiritual vision, understanding, based on the soul, a relationship with another person. Therefore, Krishna is saying like this, that when this vision comes in us, that means it is through the spirit soul, my connection with others. If that realization comes and that vision comes to him, then the other vision will go. The other vision of seeing through the eyes and relating, that ignorance will go from us. That is an ignorance actually, to see someone through the eyes and start seeing that person in that way. So Vedantam says to us, right now you should accept this as the truth. So once you start seeing right now, what you are actually seeing is the soul in the other person, then you will know the connection is also with the soul. If you start recognizing this, that what you are seeing in another person is the soul, you will know that your connection also is with the soul, not with that body anymore. And to know that, once you come to know about that, or when it becomes more and more subtle, even when this body drops away, that bandham or that relationship won't break. Relationship won't break. That is the important point. That relationships are all on a spiritual level. That understanding. Whereas on a bodily level, you cannot relate with anybody. This does not mean that that prashtaramam, vastu, that vastu inside, the soul inside, Presto Bhavan Tanubradam Kila Bandhural Mam. That vastu is the preshtam, important thing. In other words, Prashtadamam, and it is called Prashtam, that vastu alone can relate.
with others. The vastu inside alone can relate with others.
Once the vastu has broken away from the body, then there is no more connection. Vastu has broken away. Because, for example, yadvadi vayo jiva vayo bharya bibhyati tasmin kayo. So, husband died. In a house, husband died. And then, wife says, finding out when is he going to be taken to the crematorium. And till last day, he was very dear to her. But now suddenly, that soul left the body. In other words, he died. And from that point, she doesn't want to relate with him anymore. Isn't it? She wants that he should be taken away from there as quickly as possible. Why? Why is it like that? Reason is this, that all these years, that connection was not with the body. It was always with the soul. And the body has gone, cannot function anymore, so there is no more attachment towards that body. As soon as death happens, you can see within ourselves, anybody, it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be husband, wife. As soon as death happens to a member who was very close to you in the family, you feel as though you want to move away from that body. It happens in a natural way. You don't want to keep that. Of course, people who have no understanding of the soul and who have always identified with the bodily level, they may still try to stick around, but in reality, after a while, they can't see that body anymore. They will not allow that to happen. So, if you tell them that we'll take the dead body tomorrow, they'll say no. It's all right, it's husband and everything, but if he stays at home in this way, they'll get frightened about seeing that body at that time. So there was a story about this. You know, the body, when somebody die, the body becomes very stiff, isn't it? So person died and the dead body was lying there inside the house. So, because the body gets stiff, and this was in a very old house, the doors and everything were not very wide. So, to bring the dead body out in the coffin, it was very, and the dead body itself to bring it out was very difficult from inside the room where they were lying. So, they suggested that, somebody suggested that we will have to break the door, to break it open, to bring the body out. So the lady said, doesn't matter, you can cut the body into pieces and take it out from there. This is how much we are connected with this body. All of us. This is how much this connection with this body is. So when it suits us, rather than breaking the door, she said it's easier to break the body into pieces and take it out. To easy option. Preshtavabhavam, sanubhavam. Because her argument was, after all it is dead body. What does it matter? Bhairya bibhyati tasmin gaye. So that is why Krishna says here that gopis are saying to Krishna, who have come here now is not the body. Who have come here is not the body, Krishna says to them. Who have come here is not the body. And you are telling us, looking at our body, to go back. See how intelligent gopis are. Gopis are saying to Krishna, you are thinking we have this body and asking us to go back. But we have not come to see the body. We have come here because Preshto Bhavam Tanubradam Kila Banthura Altma. The same word for Brihadaranyaka gopis are using here. Because it's Shiva Brahma Sri Sukadeva Goswami, he uses the same word from the Upanishad. Preshto Bhavam Tanubradam Kila Banthura Altma. Whoever got a material body in this world, for him or for her, his relatives and most dear thing for him or her is that one which cannot be separated. What is that? Atma, soul. And that soul is he, Krishna. Krishna is that soul who is most dear to him, isn't it? The soul inside is the most dear thing to everyone. The soul is the most dear thing to everyone, isn't it? So, that soul is Krishna. And I've come to that soul, the gopis' argument is, and we are telling us to go back to the husbands and go to the children, go to the relatives and things like that. Why do you want us to go back?
gopis are asking like this. And don't talk to us in this way. We have followed all that dharmam. Dharmam is all on the bodily level. That also you have to remember. All this dharmam, what we keep on talking about, dharmam, 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 all that is on the bodily level. But extremely, people who have that extreme subtle vision in them and who are very fortunate, they will not see that happiness through the body anymore or in the bodily enjoyment, happiness from the body. So, even due to prarabdham, if sense objects comes like that in them, because the prarabdham is there and due to presence of the material body there, even if they have to live here, their happiness is in the soul, not in the body. That is what is the next verse you will see. Kurvandihi toiratim kushalasvamalman nitya priye padisudadi birarti deikim tanna prasida parameshanam asma chindyal ashabhridam toichirad aravinda netra. Gopis are talking, preaching to Krishna. Gopis are preaching to Krishna. Gopis are saying to Krishna, is that not the truth what you have spoken before? Shastram, we have not studied Shastram, but we know the truth what it is. And if this is the truth, why do you ask us to go back? What is that? Kurvandihi toiratim kushalasam altman nitya priye padisudadi birarti deikim tanna prasida parameshwaram asma chindyal ashabhradam doichirad aravinda netram. Kushala, you'll see the word kushala. Kushala means one who is expert. Expert means, the word kushala comes from the word kushagras. Brahmacharis who are capable of cutting the kushagras expertly without getting hurt. That is the word kushagras. And one who has got expertise in doing that is called kaushalam. That art is called kaushalam. Kushalas are those who have got an expertise in that. So while cutting this kusha grass, it has to be split separately to cut it. So that splitting process, brahmacharis who knows that, they are kushala. Similarly, this is all Upanishads they are talking, Upanishads knowledge. He says here, kurvandihi tuiradin kushalasam altman nitya priye padisudadi birarthideikim. Similarly, one who can separate the matter and the spirit, they are the experts. They are the experts. One who can separate the spirit and the matter, or the soul and the body. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, all these things, one package. Soul, a separate package. Soul, separate package. Those who are experts in that, it says here, that those who are studying this rasa dance, they should study this verse particularly. Kurvandihi toiradim. What happens to him? Kurvandihi toiradim. That their rati or attachment happens in Krishna or in the soul. You can use this word either way, as a Krishna or the soul. It is the same thing. Kurvandihi toiradim. Their rati or their bliss or happiness, what they experience, is in Krishna or in the soul, in the soul. For whom? Kushala, for experts they are. So such in the Veda Padashala where they are teaching the Vedam, they are called Kushalas. That is how that word came. So similarly, in this package now, mind, body, intelligence, ego, and the soul, it's all mixed up, a total package like that, isn't it? And what we have to do from this package, the soul or the awareness, aham, consciousness, that should be separated from that. That is the process. So separating consciousness or awareness, aham, I am, that awareness, taking it out of this body and become one with that rather than identifying with the body, mind, intelligence and ego. That's what the rishis are saying here. Those who are capable of doing that, they are kushalas. They are kushalas. Kurvandihi toiradim kushalasvam altman nitya priye padisudadi birarti deikim. So such personality, nitya priye toiradim kurvandi sva altmani. Nitya priye toiradim kurvandi sva altmani. Such persons, those who have got knowledge, they will separate themselves from the body and they will focus on their own soul, which is nothing but Krishna. Nothing but Krishna. And they find happiness in the soul. Happiness in the soul. So that is what that verse is talking about. Gopis are saying to Krishna that those who are experts, just like those brahmacharis who can cut the kusha grass and split them up without getting hurt, they are kushalas. In the same way, those who are capable, who have that knowledge of how to take that consciousness away from the body and separate the body, mind, intelligence, ego and everything away and find happiness in the soul or consciousness or Krishna, that is what Gopi says, that is what you are. That consciousness is standing in front of us. Why should we go back to that body again and look at that again? That Krishna standing in front of them, that is how gopis are seeing Krishna. Gopis are not seeing Krishna in another way. Normally when we see the deity in the temple, we see Krishna looks beautiful, this, that and the other we say. We don't see the spiritual identity of Krishna, do we? We don't recognize that. That he is the soul inside. Antaryami is inside. The soul is Krishna. And Krishna is standing there. We have to see him as Krishna, as the soul. Not as that body alone. Not as the body alone. So that form, what is in front of us, that is manifested there in front of us. But form is not the important thing. It is that principle behind it. So that is what it's mentioned. So they find happiness there. Where? In the soul. What is the nature of the soul? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated. That is the nature of that Krishna. Krishna's nature is like that. Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Muktam. Or eternal, pure, completely liberated and fully conscious of everything. Isn't it? Krishna is fully conscious of everything in the whole creation. Therefore, that Swarupam manifested, personified, is standing there. That is how gopis are seeing Krishna. Gopis are not just thinking, oh, it's such a beautiful form, we are standing here in front of you. No. Completely moved away from the platform of the body and totally on the platform of the soul, they are talking to Krishna. That is the most important thing. Nitya priye padisudadi virarti deikim tanna prasida parameshwara vasma chindya ashambhudam toichirar aravinda netra. So, after saying that, why do they say that? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam of that Vastu. Vastu that is standing there. Why? Because only, we mentioned this before, Priyam can stay permanently only there. Not in any other object. In any other object, if you cultivate Priyam, it won't stay. It will stay for a short time and it will withdraw. It will withdraw. Many examples we gave you before this, isn't it? That any relationship in this world, no matter who it is, how close it is, Priyam will stay for some time. After that, the person inside will withdraw. Even if it is his mother and the child. After a while, mother will say, I'll put you into your bed and I'll go and sleep my own. To only up to an extent, he will not, vigalpaha sahishnuhu, that is the nature. He will not allow anything to get inside because he has actually no relationship anywhere. That Priyam, what he is feeling at different times, is due to the presence of Krishna inside. And now gopis are saying, we have come to the souls, that whole Priyam, where Priyam will last forever, where you cannot interrupt that Priyam. That is why we say that if there is any relationship, that relationship has to be only towards Krishna, nobody else. All other relationships in this world will fail. Will fail. Either it will be broken forcefully by the nature or due to some other reasons it will break up one day or the other. Therefore, important thing is, in this verse, gopis are saying to Krishna, we have come to that person, we have come to that source where we can impose our Priyam eternally. So have we done a wrong thing? They are asking Krishna. What's wrong we have done? Gopis are also very logical, because in the Gopiya Gita you will see Patisudanvaya Bhradra Bandhava Iti Vilangyadin Achudaha Gadaha. That Pati, husband, Sudan, children, Bhradra Bandhava, brothers and relatives, everything, Gedi Vilangyadein, Achyudaha, Gadaha. That we have broken all that thing and we have come to Achyuta, to Krishna. That is the only relationship they say we know is reality. Everything else is a false relationship. That's what he's saying here. So that priyam, what we feel in this world, it will last for some time. That priyam what you felt in the beginning, after a while that priyam will go. Sometimes that priyam will turn in the opposite way also. It can turn into enmity or hate. In that way it can develop. So sometimes you will see in this life, when you develop a lot of attachment to anyone in this world, you will see a lot of hate also developing from inside at some point. So that is a spiritual phenomenon. That's a spiritual phenomenon. Because within inside us, there are two forces working all the time. One force is pulling us towards liberation, to the path of liberation. It is taking us towards the path of liberation. So when some force, this you can notice yourself, when you feel some strong attachment towards someone, or somebody attacks you in a very forceful way, and after a while, for some time you may feel that strongly attracted to someone, but at some point in time it will turn into hate. Quite often this happens in this world. Initially, sometimes it is never in a controlled way. Sometimes very strong attachment develops towards someone and then it turns into hate. Reason for that is this other force inside, who is pulling us towards the liberation side, it is causing that problem. It's causing that problem. Because this attraction in the world outside, we become external very much. So when you become too external, the person inside, he pulls you back towards the source. He pulls you back towards the source. So that Shakti inside, the power inside, that is meant for liberation, moksha, for liberation. The force that is pulling us towards liberation. And that force, it will start hating that person from inside. From nowhere, no reason, you develop a certain unhappiness towards the other person. Why? Only then the mind will go inward looking. Otherwise it will just go behind that person. So, so to remember this, that if ever any relationship happens with anybody, sneham or love, anything happens, when you feel hate towards that person later on, the important thing to do, instead of allowing the hate to develop inside, is to remove that person from inside straight away. That's the right thing to do, rather than developing a hate towards that person. Many, many relationships, if you observe in this world, you will see this happening. Sometime between brothers, between brothers and sisters, between parents and children, between relatives also, in many levels, these things happen. Sometime in life, there was some attachment, strong attachment. And sometime later, attachment broke and also a state of hate developed inside. And you started thinking, why this has happened? There will be some silly reason outside, but actually that is not the reason. Inside, the other force, what is acting inside, it is pulling you away from that mind which is going too far into the world. To pull it back, it has to do that from inside. It does in a normal way. So, whenever any love happens towards anyone, in relationships like that, if a hate is developing at that point, rather than, instead of giving place for that hate to develop, the best thing is to remove that connection from that person inside, rather than developing the hate. So, and if we keep our mind peaceful in that way, that hate won't become strong inside. So, wherever we get attracted very much, there you can expect that you will develop the hate also at the same place. Therefore, any object outside us, nowhere attachment should be kept. Because attachment in the Bhagavad Gita, the word used is asakti, isn't it? If you keep asakti means that attachment, it will turn into hate. Later on, it will turn into hate. Therefore, he says here, intelligent people who are matured in their understanding, they will only develop attachment in the Nitya Vastu. That is what is mentioned there.
Nitya Priye Tvairadim Kushalasvama Alpman Nitya Priye.
The word Nitya Priye is that. Nityam, Nitya Vastu. Nitya Vastu is Krishna, the soul. Only there Priyam, nowhere else. Then you don't have to cry. You don't have to cry.
Nitya Priye Patisudha Adibirati Deikim. Nitya Priye Patisudha Adibirati Deikim.
Nitya Priya. Nitya Priya is Krishna. That is the word. Nitya Priya is Krishna. If ever there is any attachment or connection in this world, or any love towards anybody, Krishna, gopis are saying, if you put that on Krishna, he is Nitya Priyam. You will never cry afterwards. Anywhere else, if you develop attachment, you must cry. That is the principle. One way or the other, it will happen. Then you can, it will turn out very sour later, go to the solicitors and husband going to solicitor, wife going to solicitor with all the documents, sorting out this, sorting out that. It carry on for lifelong business, it becomes then. Is it not? So Priyam, then, that is why they say here that Priyam should be alone, so in the soul alone. So, the Priyam, what you feel, the objects outside, is only a temporary thing. It's only a temporary thing. In there is coming and going. It comes and it goes. But, but Priyam in Krishna, there is no coming and going. There is no coming going. Because this Priyam, this Priyam what is inside us, that Priyam is there in everybody else. Whenever we see an object outside, you can see this, that experience of that Priyam is not happening in the object, it is happening in us. Isn't it? In us. That if you remember that, you will not regret later. That any time when you see somebody or with someone whom you feel strongly attached in any way, if you know that Priyam is happening within me, not in that person, then that attachment won't develop in a strong level. In a stronger level. Otherwise you can see it will become a catastrophe later. So otherwise you will think that, oh, because of that person I am feeling happy. If you start thinking like that, you will be running after that person whole time. So that is what it is saying here. So everything is happening within us. Only thing is that a particular object has become a cause at that point. But what is happening is within us, not in the object. The object has just become a cause at that particular point in time. Whether it is wife, whether it is children, whether it's a relative, whatever it may be. If ever any Priyam is developing inside, if you remember that, Priyam is developing within me. That particular person has come on that particular moment in time in the life. That's all. That's all the connection is. Nothing more than that. Similar, just like a flower, when you see a nice flower, or when you see a nice book, or when you see a man or a woman, all of them can be an object, isn't it? Which can instigate a Priyam inside. Some Priyam can. So, but that is happening inside. If we know that much, that is sufficient. So, that happiness what I am experiencing inside, that happiness has taken a form outside. And that is how that object is. If you know like that, that's all you have to know. That when an attachment or any happiness you feel with someone, the happiness what you have felt, it has taken a form and standing there. If you know it like that, that is sufficient. But if you start thinking because of that object I am feeling happiness, that will be a misunderstanding. So, like that, all objects in this world, they all go back to the, all emotions that we are experiencing in this world towards everyone in this world, the root of all that is right here, inside us. And those who do like that, they are called sannyasis. This is sannyasam. Sannyasam means that we say that they have to give up all connection with this world, isn't it? How do they give up the connection? This is how they give up the connection. That everything in this world for them is same. There is no difference from one thing to another. That with all the objects, they know that their relationship is permanently, it's only with Krishna, not with any other object. Not with any other object. The object is only there because when I felt happiness, for sannyasi, when he sees anybody in this world, he should feel the same. He should feel the same because he is only seeing the soul inside. He is only seeing the soul inside. These are all requirements for sannyasa ashram. Sannyasa ashram's requirement, all this is. So, we'll have a short break. We'll continue after that. 15 minutes. So, knowing that the object outside has caused the happiness inside, has not caused the happiness inside. Knowing very well that the happiness I am experiencing inside, it has taken a form and standing outside in that particular form, any object in this world. So, in other words, what they call that priyam comes from inside. That priyam has taken a particular form and standing outside in the form of a person or something else. Something else. So, but never to think that the happiness has come from that object. That's the most important thing. Similarly, all objects in this world, when one sees in that way, and knowing that the prem has come from inside, and keeping that there itself, without allowing the, and even the emotions that has come from that, controlling that and keeping it there, one who practices that and makes it perfect, that is called nyasam. That is called nyasam. And those who are doing that, nyasis. And when you do that, samyak. Samyak means continuously, when one is able to do that, he is called a sannyasi. He is a sannyasi. That is the way sannyasam is to be understood. This is the same thing in the Bhashyam, what it says, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Isn't it? Sannyasa lakshanam is jnanam. This is the jnanam that they are talking about. Jnanam means realization, jnanam knowledge. So jnanam sannyasa lakshanam means that whenever there is an experience of priyam, this is one of the sannyasa lakshanam, not everything. Whenever there is experience of priyam coming from inside towards anything in this world, knowing very well that the priyam is coming from the soul, not from the object, and not getting attached to any object at any level, but always able to know the source where it has come from, and able to control it and keep it there, all the emotions that has come from that, that is called nyasam. And one who is able to do that continuously, all times, he is a sannyasi. He is a sannyasi. So, sannyasi is that person, one who sees that all the priyam is coming from the soul. All, seeing that all those emotions are coming from the soul, that is called sannyasam. That is called sannyasam. There is a famous prayer called Shri Rudram. Shri Rudram is a famous prayer in the Vedam. In the Vedam. So, before every Veda mantram is chanted, there is what is known as nyasam. What is known as nyasam. So, that nyasam, if you perform samyak, samyak means continuously, uninterruptedly, if you do that, you become a sannyasi. For example, in the Shri Rudram, Agni Meva Ahudayamayi Amritam Brahmani, goes like that. There is a number of hymns, comes one after the other, which is, says that the fire remains in the word, and word, little by little, slowly, it goes into the inside, and it touches the soul inside, where it has come from. So, little bit to understand this, that every emotions what we experience here, it should go to the sense where it has come from, and senses will have to go back into the mind, and mind has to go and dissolve itself in the source from the Alma. For example, the pleasures which is received through the senses. We have discussed this before also. One thing that we call is the pratiti, isn't it? And other thing is called anubhavam. These are the words in the shastram, pratiti and anubhavam. Pratiti means that when you see an object in this world through your senses, you saw something, and that object creates an impact inside. That is called perception or pratiti inside. The word perception refers to that. It is pratiti what we have. But inside what you are experiencing something, aham, I am, all that time, my own awareness or existence, that is anubhavam, it is experience, isn't it? So experience and perception, they are two different things. Perception and experience, they are two different things. Whatever that comes through emotions that is created by the senses, which has its effect on the mind, isn't it? Anything when you perceive something in this world, any object, whenever you perceive that object, what does it do? It creates a wave in the mind. It creates a wave in the mind. So, knowing very well that it is perception and it's not, or it is perception or pratiti and not experience or anubhavam, to know that is important, whether it is a perception or whether it's an experience. Many things what we have now is not always the experience, it is the perception what we have, isn't it? So any, and they create emotions inside. All the senses also create the emotions inside. So knowing very well that it is a perception from an object and controlling it at the point where it has happened. For example, in the eye or in the ears or in the sense of touch or in the taste, wherever it is. Knowing very well in its own place, controlling it there, and knowing very well that that experience is in the mind, is it not? You see, just like in the case of Priyam, Priyam is an experience, it's anubhavam. It comes from the soul. So when you start seeing that all these experiences of Priyam what we have is coming from the soul, when you become conscious of that, you know the Priyam is not coming from the object. It's coming from the soul. So due to practice, we keep that in our understanding, that any time when you experience Priyam towards someone or some object, immediately you have to know it has come from the soul, not from the object. Similarly, while we have perception in this world with various objects in this world, and whenever they create an emotion inside us, which means inside the mind, to know that that experience inside the mind is due to the perception of the particular object by the senses. And whatever emotion it has created inside, either a love or a hate towards that object, ragam or dvesham, attachment or aversion, whatever that has happened at that time, knowing very well it has happened in my senses, and that is what I have experienced in my mind, and knowing very well that the mind has come from the chit shakti. In this way, withdrawing from that, and that process is also called sannyasam. Because if you look at this world, you can see all our interactions with this world is through the senses, through the mind, and all the emotions that's created inside, is it not? So whenever any priyam or our attachment to anyone goes in this world very freely flowing, we have to know very well at that point that the priyam is coming from inside. Otherwise, if you think that the priyam is coming from the person, you will start running after that person more and more and more. That's what will happen. It is at that time this understanding will help to know that the priyam is coming from the soul, not from that person. Otherwise, that very same person could become tomorrow a object of hate or aversion or distress for us. So by this understanding that prayam is coming from the soul, we have to become careful not to run after that object unnecessarily. And that is where the understanding is necessary. Similarly, any sense objects also in this world, because all these things, what they do is they take our attention away from the soul to the world outside. Whether it is a person or individual, or whether it's any object outside, doesn't matter whether it's car or house or anything beautiful in this world, all it does is it makes us more and more external, more and more external. And that external looking nature must go from us. And the way to do that is this process of going inward in this way, knowing well where it is happening. So, instead of that, taking sannyasam externally by changing clothes, by changing the clothes, or wearing the sannyasi dress, or changing my name to this Saraswati or that Saraswati or whatever that is, some changing the name, or changing the clothes, or holding a danda, that is not going to become sannyasi. That's not a sannyasi's qualification. This inside change, that's what's happening. That is what Krishna is talking about here. So, and if you do it externally, it is not possible to do it externally by changing clothes or dress. But, so, instead of being helpful, it will actually become a problem. First thing is, little by little, every object, what is getting attracted in this world, and where this attraction taking place, bring that object towards that, instead of pouring all the attention on the object, go back to the source where it is, the attention is originating from, and offering it there, and realizing very well that all objects in this world is situated within me. And I am situated in all the objects, in the sense that when you know that pratiti or perception, what is happening due to a particular object, when it is happening inside the mind, that happiness what you are experiencing in the mind also is nothing but an after effect of the soul. For example, mind has come from the soul. Remember this? Mind is an unusual energy that comes up in the morning when we wake up. And the whole day it keeps you occupied in this world, and in the night it goes to sleep. Where it has gone, nobody knows. Where it came from, nobody knows. That is why it's called the way mind operates, isn't it? So if we are taking notice of these things, what Krishna has spoken here, so one who has developed this, that he is situated in everything and all the objects are situated within me. Why do we say like that, all the objects are situated within me? It is like this, that the impact of that object is happening in me, not anywhere else, isn't it? It's a nice car or a nice house or something nice. All the impact of all that is happening within me. Therefore, we say that the object is within me. The impact of that is happening within me. So here, this upasana or this practice, when it becomes perfect, or upasana siddhi it is called, so when that has happened for him, sannyasis, they are, gopis are saying this to Krishna, we know very well that you are the soul, Atma Vastu, you are the soul of everybody. That is what gopis confirm to Krishna first. Look at that way, in the verse 33, kurvanihi toiradim kushalasvam alpan Nitya Priye Padisuda Adibir Artidei Kim. We know very well, Kurvandihi Toiradim Kushalaswam Alpman. First line, Krishna, gopis are saying to Krishna, very experts and very people who have got that realization, those who have learned to separate the soul from the body, or those who are self-realized souls, they put their priyam only in you. That is the first line. Kurvandihi toiradim kushalasyama alpman. That they are experts. Why are they experts? Because they know they have separated the soul from the body. Inside they have separated that. Not that they are dead, that soul and body are separated. Not like that. Inside they have separated the soul from the body. And what have they understood? Kurvandihi toiradim kushalasyam altman. That they have learned to develop their priyam. Nitya priyam. Padisudanvani. Nitya priyam. Padisudanadibirati daikim. They have learned where to put their priyam. Only towards that nityam vastu. Nitya vastu inside the soul. In the devotee's language, only towards Krishna. In any language, only towards the soul. That's the only difference. Nitya priye, then pati sutadibi arti deikim. They have also learned another lesson, what is that, which we have also learned, gopis are saying. Pati sutadibi arti deikim. All these other things, what is that, husband, children, they only give us one thing. What is that? Arti. Except arti, what else they give us? Gopis are asking Krishna. Gopis are asking Krishna. So, here, Padisudha Kuruvan Mihitvairadim Kushalasya Malman Nitya Priye Padisudha Adimir Arti Deikim. Arti means, the word arti means, Pati Sutadibi Arti Deikim. They will give you a little happiness and then they will give you a lot of distress after that. Who? Husband, children, all of them. Padisudha Adimir Arti Deikim. Next time when you go to them for some happiness, they'll bite you. That's the way it is. That's how, this is nobody's fault, this is. This is nobody's fault. That is the way Maya works. That's what Krishna is saying to us. Gopis are repeating that again. That it is nobody's fault. Do not misunderstand it that way. Some particular wife is bad or husband is bad. It's not like that. Krishna is telling us, way the Maya operates in this world is, that initially it will get attracted. Arti means that something that gives you for some small pleasure for some time, and when you get closer it will bite you. So, or give you some other problem. Similarly, in the world you can see this, for some time you have lived happily together, suddenly something happened, you said something and they didn't like it. And then for the rest of their life, you have broken the relationship. It happens, isn't it? You don't want to see each other, and then friction starts, and then it gets into argument, and then it expands in all around, and continuously it causes distress all the time. And similarly, at the same time, because of the situation where you are in, that all other anxieties centered around them. Inside, there is still distress inside. Family relationships are all like that. If you look at it, you will see. If you analyze, look back to your own life, you will experience, you don't have to be explained, but I'm just putting it through words, that's all. You have input into it a lot, all these relationships, a lot of energy, and then you are feeling frustrated later. There is no response from the other side. Husband is saying, wife is not showing any consideration, and wife is complaining that husband is like this. This way it goes on. The children will, tomorrow will come, and they will act independently. Then the father and mother is thinking, why is he acting like this? Why are they doing like, they are not listening to us anymore. So mutually between husband and wife problem, between the parents and the children also problem, that is within one family. And then if you bring all the other relatives, brothers, sisters and all of that, there is problem. So where is there is no problem, it is very difficult to find a place like that. Is it not? So that is what the gopis are saying here. That kurvandihi toiradim kushalasvama altman. Those who have understood this principle, they will only, they are so extremely cautious about that, that their reti, attachment, is only in Krishna, nowhere else. Why? Nitya priye. Because Krishna is nitya priyam. Where you will not tomorrow regret. Where you won't be disappointed, in other words. Everywhere else, Pati Sudhadibi Arti Deikim. Because gopis are saying here, they are saying husband and the children. If men, gopas are counting, men are talking, they will say wife and children. That's all the difference is. It's not wife is bad or husband is bad. It's not like that, not to misunderstand it that way. Because gopis are speaking here, they are saying that this thing called husband, children and all that, initially there is some attachment, everything develops. But after that, it is all problems, rest of the life. Rest of the life is nothing but problem, isn't it? They will, then it is dragging the whole life through that torture or whatever we call it. So, so that is what gopis are saying here, that they will not leave, it will give you a little happiness in the beginning, and then afterward it will make you work whole life. It will make you to do the work rest of the life, isn't it? So, just like they give you a chocolate and tell you 10 hours to cut the firewood, something like that. A little happiness it gives you. One chocolate it gives you in the beginning and tell you the rest of the life you work and look after me and feed me and take care of me in the same way. So that's what's happened. And husband is complaining, wife is also complaining. Equally, I have to work the whole life for him to look after him and the children. And she's also complaining. Husband is also complaining. And children watch all this, and when they grow up, they are also complaining. So complaints never stops. It will continue from beginning to end. It's all misery only. That's what it's saying here. Patisudhadibirartideikim. Gopis are asking Krishna this question. And you want us to go back to that, do you? Gopis are asking this question to Krishna. That kuruvandihitoinanin kushalasvam altman nityapraye patisudhadibirartideikim. Tanna prasida parameshwaram asma chindya ashamrudam toichida aravinda netram. So gopi seems to have a lot of realization, lot more than us. Even though they are ordinary people, they have not studied any shastram. They didn't take Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, but they seem to have understood the truth of this world much better than anybody else. And they are saying to Krishna, we have understood all these things in so many lifetimes. We have looked after so many husbands and so many children. But I think the time has come to call it a day now. Why? Because we have come to the source. Why we felt happiness with all the wife, husband and children? Because inside you, who gave us that priyam or happiness from within. Ashamranam toichirad aravindanetram. So, it is like that. And so many distress that comes in life, you can see this, they'll make you work the whole life. Even when you get old, they won't let you go. They won't let you go. Then the grandchildren will come. Then you can take them to the nursery school in the morning. And the whole process starts second time again. All you have done once for life, but that's not enough. Start the whole thing, a second cycle starts there, isn't it? So, this way, they'll waste all your time. So that what will happen? So many distress will come, they will never let you go on a leave anytime. No leave. So, never release. No release from that. Nitya priye patisudhadimirarti deikim. So, now, gopis are saying, Nitya priye. Nitya priye, he said, eternally, there is no shelter in any of them. Yeah? No shelter in any of them. It's all illusion. Maya is keeping us like that. That's why Nitya Priye. Therefore, we have come to the proper shelter, which is the eternal shelter, where alone real shelter remains. That is Krishna. That's what. So that is why our attachment is there, and therefore, and we have followed the intelligent people. That's what he is saying. We are following the intelligent people. So, everything else creates arti. Arti means this. It will give you some happiness and then give you a lot of distress after that. So, so Tanna Prasida Parameshwara. Tanna Prasida Parameshwara says here that Masma Chindya Ashamradam. Even if a tree is poisonous, if you have brought up that tree nicely by pouring water into the tree and brought that tree up nicely, you should not cut that tree because you have brought it up, isn't it? You feel that attachment there. That is the system. Tree should not be cut because you have brought up that tree. Even though the tree is a poisonous tree, which is not any use to us, still you have watered the root and the tree has grown because of your help. Even though it is like that, because you have done it, you are not in a position to cut that tree. Similarly, we have grown so many trees around us. Wife, children, grandchildren, and all other relations, everything. And we can't cut that because we brought them up ourselves. How can you cut it? That's what gopis are saying to him. That so, when it is like that, you have created priyam in us. to all of these things, isn't it? And now you have attracted us towards you through this process of prayer. You have brought us towards you. And you want to cut that now? Gopis are asking Krishna. Tanna prasida parameshwaram asma chindya. Chindya means to cut it off. Asha ambrinam toi chirad aravinda netram. That you got us attracted towards you through your flute and through your pastimes and inside, situated as inside us as the soul of everyone. You have attracted us towards you and you are going to cut us off now. Is that fair? That's a gopi's question to Krishna. Gopi's question to Krishna. So, for many, many lifetimes to reach you, we have been desiring. And we, keeping that desire inside, we have gone through so many lifetimes. Remember, gopis were in the past life, they were great sages. In the Dandakaranya forest, when Ramachandra came, you know that Ramachandra wanted to, those great sages, they wanted to associate with Ramachandra, and Ramachandra told them, in this lifetime it won't happen, but in the next life when I come, this will happen. So that's why many of the gopis are Rishicharis, they are called. They are either Rishi, the sages personified, or Vedam personified, Shudichari, Rishichari. Shudhi is Vedam. Vedam personified is some of the gopis are. Some of the gopis are sages personified. Sages have come in this body, in the gopis body. Some of them, the Veda has come in their body. Upanishads and Vedas have come in that body. They are also called Upanishad Sundari. Different Upanishads have taken this form and come as gopis. They are called Upanishad beauties, you can call them in that way. They are the Upanishad beauties. And then who else? Shudhichari, Rishichari, and then some of them are women from the heavenly planets. Great devotees in the heavenly planets who have been invited by Krishna to come here in this pastime. Krishna invited many people from the heavenly planets also. When the churning of the milk ocean happened, at that time the great battle between demigods and the demons happened. And in there, many people were invited to come for Krishnavadaram, in Krishna's appearance, to participate. So, some of them are demigods, some of them are sages, and some of them are Upanishads personified. They are the gopis. Gopis belong to one of these three categories. So, they are saying that in various lifetimes before, we have been desiring to come and associate with you, the source of everything. And this opportunity we have got, and we have come here and you are sending us back. Ashambradam toi chirad aravinda netram. And aravinda ashambradam toi chirad aravinda netra. Therefore they say to him that tanna prasida parameshwaram. We have not thought of you just like an ordinary husband. Gopis are saying to Krishna, we are not thinking of you like an ordinary husband. Because you are nitya priye padisudadimir artabhendu. If you take each of those words there, you can see there, Nitya Priya Bhava Tanu Preshto Bhavam Tanu Brudho Kila Bandhu Alma Aravinda Netra. All of those words shows that they have come to this stage on their own. Mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means this is the state of desiring strongly for liberation. That state of consciousness of a person when he wants to release himself from the material body. That stage has come to them. You know that four things are required in spiritual life. Manishyatvam, Mumukshatvam, Mahapurusha Samshraya. Three things. Manishyatvam, Mumukshatvam, Mahapurusha Samshraya. Durlabham Trayamevedal. Three things are very, very rare in us. That happens Devanigraha Hedugam by Krishna's mercy. It happens. Three things. What are they? Manishyatvam, to get a human body. That is Krishna's mercy to us. What is the second thing? Not only getting a human body, while in this human body, an intense desire to escape from here. That means not to accept another material body again. That is called Mumukshatvam. Not to come back, in other words. We say back to home, back to Godhead, isn't it? Not to come back here again. That is what it is. Mokshatvam. Mokshatvam is that word. Back to home, back to Godhead means mokshatvam. So first thing, a desire to get a human body. Second thing, manishyatvam, mokshatvam. Mokshatvam, this intense desire to escape from here. And thirdly, Mahapurusha Samshraya, association with a great soul. All these three things are very, very rare in this world. In this world. So that is why here, gopis have got human body. Gopis have now got the second thing, mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means they are intensely yearning for liberation from this world. They have gone so far in spiritual life. Otherwise they could not throw away family life like that. Their children, their husbands, their home, family members, the house, everything, including their all their karma, they have left it. Isn't it? They come to Krishna. That shows their mumukshatvam inside. And thirdly, Mahapurusha Samshraya, which means association with great soul. Here, it's Krishna. Association with Krishna. So they have got all the three. Manishyatvam, Mumukshatvam, Mahapurusha Samshrayam. You will see this in the Viveka Chudamani mentions there. One of the early verses. Dullabham drayamevaidal daivanigraha hedugam manishyatvam mumukshatvam mahapurusha samshrayaha. Mahapurusha Samshrayam. That association with a great personality like the gopis had. So all that things has happened here. And they are coming and standing in front of Krishna, and they have forgotten everything. And at the same time, they are in great distress because Krishna has spoken like this. So I'll read through that where it says, and then we will go into the gopis' glorifications about that. So we'll begin from there. That Sri Shuka Vacha, verse 28. Iti Priyamagarnyam Gopyo Govindamashidam Vishanna Bhagna Sangalpa Chindam Abur Duratayam Krutvam Khanijavaja Shasanena Shushyad Bimbhadarani Charanena Bhuvam Likhandya Asrairubata Mashabi Kuchakogunani Tasturam Rajanda Uridukha Bhara Asma Tushnim Preshtam Priye Taramiva Pratibhashamanam Krishnam Dadartha Vinivartina Sarvadama Netre Vimurjya Dhyutidova Hadesma Kinjal Sambramba Gadgada Giro Bruvadanu Rektaha Gopya Uju Naivam Viborhati Bhavan Gadidam Rishamsam Sandhyanja Sarva Vishayam Tavapada Muhulam Bhakta Abhajasu Duravagrahama Tyaja Asman Devo Yadha Adi Purusho Bhajade Mumukshun. Most of the words there, they are from the Jnana Margam. You can see the words Preshtam, Mumukshatvam, and also Kurvan Nitya Priye Padisudadi Birakti. Everything is Upanishad's knowledge is spoken by the gopis in their way. They have put it through. Shuka Brahmarshi is speaking through the gopis. You will notice one thing in the Bhagavadam. Wherever Shuka Brahmarshi, Sri Shuka Uvacha, if you look, you will see Shuka Brahmarshi identifies with that person who is speaking. When he is speaking through the gopis, he is speaking through the gopis now, isn't it? He is speaking through the gopis. So that gopis language, everything, you will see this influence of Shuka Brahmarshi's words there in that in that language. Gopis may not have recited these words like this. It's Shuka Brahmarshi's words, this is it not? So everywhere, similarly when Uddhava and Krishna is talking, through Krishna, Shuka Brahmarshi is speaking. And through Uddhava, Shuka Brahmarshi can... Shuka Brahmarshi took the position of a Uddhava and asking questions also. This and recognition will come when you keep through reading through this Bhagavadam a lot. So, Gopya Uchu, Maivam Vibhorkhati Bhavan Gadidam Rishamsam Sandhinja Sarvamshayam Stava Padamulam Bhakta Abhajasya Dhravagrahama Tyaja Asman Devao Yathadi Purusho Bhajate Mumukshun Yalpatya Bhatya Sukhadam Murtirangam Srinam Sudharmaidi Dharmavida Twayoktam Astreva Vida Ubavesha Bade Twayishe Preshto Bhavam Tanipradam Kila Bandhuralmam Kurvan Nihitva Yadim Kshalasam Alpan Nitya Priye Padisubadi Virarti Deikim Tanna Prasida Parameshwaram Asma Chindya Ashabhradam Toichidad Aravinda Netram Chittam Sukhena Bhavata Abhakadam Griheshu Yennirvishatina Karavi Vigrhakrite Padopadam Chalat Thavapadam Ulam Abhakadam Prajavamo Karavamakimvam.
വ്രജമധോ കരവാമ കിം വാ സിംഹാംഗന അധരാമതപൂരകേണ ഹാസാവലോകളഗീതജ ഹൃച്ഛയാഗ്നിം നോ ചേദ്വയം വിരഹജാത് ഉപയുപ്രയുക്തദേഹ ധ്യാനേന യാമപദയോ പദവീം സഖേതേ യർഹ്യംബുജാക്ഷതോ പാദതലം രമായ ദത്തക്ഷണം കുചിതരന്യ ജനപ്രിയസ്യ അസ്പ്രാഷ്മതൽ പ്രഭുതിനാന്യസമക്ഷമംഗം സാധും ത്വയാഭിരമിത വദപാരയാമ ശ്രീരൽപദാംബുജരച്ചക്രമേ തുളസ്യ ലബ്ധ്വാഭിവക്ഷസി പദങ്കില മൃത്യജുഷ്ടം യസ്യ അസുഭീഷ്ണകൃതേ ന്യസനുപ്രയാസം സദ്വദ്വയം തവ പാദരജ പ്രപന്നാഃ തന്ന പ്രസീദ വിജനാർദ്ദനദേങ്കിം പ്രാപ്തവിസജ്ജവസതി സദുപാവസനാശ തുൽസുന്ദര സ്നാനീക്ഷണ തീവ്രകാമം തപ്താൽപനം പുരുഷഭൂഷണ ദേഹിദാസ്യം വീക്ഷാണകാമൃതമുഖം തവകുണ്ടലശ്രീ ഗണ്ഡസ്ഥലാധരസുതം ഹസിതാവലോകം ദത്താഭയം ച ഭുജദണ്ഡയുഗം വിലോക്യ വക്ഷശ്രിയൈകരമണം ച ഭവാമദാസ്യം കാസ്ത്രംഗതേ കളവദായതമൂർച്ഛിനേന സമോഹിതാര്യചരിതാന്ന ചലേ ത്രിലോക്യം ത്രൈലോക്യസൗഭഗമിതം ച നിരീക്ഷരൂപം യദ്ഗോദ്വിജ ദ്രുമലതാ പുളകാനുബിഭ്രൻ വ്യക്തൻ ഭവാൻ പ്രചമയാർദ്ധിഹരോഭിജാതോ ദേവോ യഥാദിവേഷ സുരലോകഗോപ്ത തന്നോ നിനേഹി കരപങ്കജമാർത്തബന്ധോ തപ്തസ്തനേഷു ച ശിരസ്സു ച കിങ്കരീണാം സോ mentions there, gopis are saying to Krishna, in their words, they are representing like this, that you can see gopis are ready to go back home, go to Khadad, or for the liberation. You can see their state of consciousness. Everything is consciousness, not the external dress. Gopis didn't change their clothes, did they? They didn't take danda in the hand. We get caught up in the institution and think that this is all the perfection. It is not like that. Bhagavata Dharma is not based on completely on the Varnashrama Dharma. It's beyond all that. That is why in Bhagavata Dharma you will see that Gopi, just by bringing gopis here, Shubhabrahmarshi is telling us, Shubhabrahmarshi pays obeisances to the gopis. Is there one sannyasi who is higher than Shubhabrahmarshi in this world? He has gone beyond sannyasa ashram. They call him as avadhuta, isn't it? Who has nothing in this world, who possesses nothing, and who owns nothing, and no identification with anything. That is Shubhabrahmarshi's position. He pays obeisances to the gopis, seeing their state of consciousness, what has come from them. Why we say gopis are the highest? Because of this realization, what the gopis have. What they are saying here, that they are saying to Krishna, what you see in gopis is actually the peak of devotion, the highest devotion what you observe there. Normally, everything what you see in this world, there is dharmam, tyagam, sacrifice, everything. But you can observe all those things. But this bhakti what gopis had for Krishna is not an ordinary bhakti. Is not an ordinary bhakti. It has a lot of angles or lot of dimensions to it. So normally what we say bhakti, we classify that, isn't it? Prakritam, Madhyamam, Uttamam, three kinds of bhakti we take. And this Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see this the best Uttama bhakti very often. Like you remember in the Naumas, in the Ekadasha Skandam, when the Navayogis and Nimi in their Samvadam conversation, they mentioned about Sarva Bhudeshu Yappashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Almana Bhudani Bhagavat Yesha Savai Bhagavadottama. There is that description of a pure devotee, first class devotee, isn't it? So, in the Ekadasha Skandam, seeing Krishna Sarva Bhudeshu Yappashyet is considered as a symptom of a first class devotee in Ekadasha Skandam. And the science of bhakti, Bhakti Shastram says, it calls it as Parabhakti. Parabhakti. Another name for that is Jnanottara Bhakti. In other words, in Gita, that is what Krishna is talking about. Jnanottara Bhakti. The thing is the same, but in different places it's spoken in a different way. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, it's called Jnanottara Bhakti, because there you will see Krishna mentions that Brahmabhuta Prasannatma na shochati na kamkshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param.
that Parabhakti, what Krishna mentions there. And Krishna also mentions in the 18th chapter,
Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada tatomam tattvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram.
That is Jnanottara Bhakti. How do you know it is Jnanottara Bhakti? You look at the words.
Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada.
Krishna talks about tattvam there. Isn't it?
Through tattvam you are realizing Krishna.
So if you are realizing tattvam, it is jnanam. Is it not? If you are realizing tattvam, it is jnanam. Through that jnanam process, it has developed into bhakti. That is why it's called jnanottara bhakti. Bhakti that has come through jnanam, through knowledge. So, bhaktyamam abhijanadi. If you look at that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see there.
Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada tadomam tattvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram.
It's a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It is in the 18th chapter. 55, yeah? Okay.
Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada tadomam tattvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram.
One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Now, in these words, Prabhupada has given the translation from the bhakti point of view. But if you look at the words, you can see, tatomam tattvado jnatva, that knowing tattvam is important there. Tatomam tattvado jnatva, vishade tadanandaram. After that, he enters into me. Krishna says there, isn't it? He can enter into the kingdom of God. In a devotee's language, entering into the kingdom of God. In the jnani's language, going back to Krishna. Joining Krishna, in other words. Whichever way if you want to take it. But the Prabhupada has given the commentary based on the devotee's point of view. The whole Prabhupada's commentary is based on devotional side.
So, tadomam tattvado jnatva. Knowing that tattvam vishade tadanandaram,
he can enter into me, Krishna is saying that. So there it is based on the knowledge that Krishna has spoken here. So, Brahmabhudam. Brahmabhudam means what? Brahmabhudam means you have separated yourself from the body. Brahmabhudam prasannalma, isn't it? Separately from the body, you have started seeing the soul, experiencing the soul on its own, knowing very well that you are the soul. That realization, na shochati, na kankshati. No hankering, no lamentation after that. And he is not disturbed about anything, thinking about anything, he is not feeling distress over anything in this world. And he is not desiring anything, which means no hankering, no lamentation. And equally minded towards everyone. Sama sarveshu bhudeshu. Equal mind towards everybody. These are all symptoms of a jnani. Of a jnani symptoms. And then bhakti comes there. At that point, bhakti comes. And that is what he mentions here. Mad bhakti labhade param. Isn't it? Parabhakti comes at that stage. So, with that bhakti, one can know what is Krishna. What is Krishna? And that will start experiencing. Now, here what you see in the gopis, it is not that way. It is prema bhakti. It is not parabhakti what Bhagavad Gita has spoken. It is prema bhakti. And this prema bhakti comes in a natural way. In a natural way in some people. Because gopis had that opportunity, Krishna gave them that prema bhakti in that way. That because sarvadharmam parityajya mamegam sharanam vraja. That is what gopis have done. Gopis did that and gopis went back, gopis got prema bhakti. It is easy to say this sarvadharmam parityajyam amegam sharanam vraja, isn't it? Aham tvam sarva, maybe we all recite that verse very happily. But so far, the only people who have done that and made it truth, real, is gopis. From there you can understand the difficulty in there. Sarvadharmam parityajyam amegam, everybody knows that verse, isn't it? Even people know the which chapter, which verse number even, 1866. Everybody will know the answer. Anyone who has become taken to Krishna consciousness will know that verse. They know it is 18th chapter, verse 66. So, So the thing is that verse is very simple, but the only people who have done that and made it a reality is gopis. That is the difficulty. How difficult it is. It is easy to say that sarvadharmam paritejamamekam sharanam, but you can see how gopis have done that. Are we able to do that, what gopis have done? Throw away everything and walk out from here, from this world, and go to Krishna in that way? Nobody can do that. It's not possible. It's not so simple as we talk about it. We don't understand the gravity of that verse. That's why we say, oh, Bhagavad Gita is very simple. You don't have to read all the other chapters. Only the last 1866 you have to know. And then you can preach. Yes, you can preach, but you can't practice it. That's the only problem. That's the problem with 1866. Preaching is easy, but practicing is not easy. That easy as we think about it. So the question is that gopis have done that. That's their success. Nobody could do that in that way. Even you can see, look at all others, Kunti Devi and Bhishma and many other personalities in the Bhagavatam. Nobody has done what the gopis have done. To walk out from the house in that way, leaving the children, leaving the husband, fully knowing very well that they can't go back to that house again. They won't be accepted. To such an extent that surrender inside and throw away all the responsibilities in this world and to walk out from that, to go to Krishna like that. And when going there, Krishna is rejecting them, telling them to go back home. And gopis' answers to that, you've seen how they reply to Krishna. That is surrender. So when we quote that verse, sarvadharman paritejya, we have to be a little bit conscious of these things. Behind that, it implores all these things. It is not that easy as we make it. For us, if we join some institution or something, we are sarvadharman paritejya, we say, oh, I've given up everything, all my... You are not given up anything. All what you have done is, you have broken it here and you have started somewhere else the business. That's all what has happened. There is nothing, no surrender has happened anywhere. Many, many people's case, if you look at it, that is why we have a lot of problems also. Because we are quoting these words, but it hasn't manifested properly in the person. So therefore, what normally happens is, we say, oh, I changed all my clothes, I took on some brahmachari name, and I changed my way, I'm wearing dhoti, I'm not putting trousers anymore, I'm putting dhoti always. And also I got cleaned head and shikha everything. Now that I'm a brahmachari, I've surrendered. You're not surrendered anything. If tomorrow something else happens, you will go find shelter somewhere else. That's the way it is. So this surrender is not a simple thing as we make of it. It's not that simple. So here, Krishna is saying to us that this prema bhakti, that particular word, sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarvabhavibhyo mokshayishyami mashucha, that verse is a direct explanation of that verse is this gopis. Gopis are the direct interpretation of that verse's essence of that verse. Essence of the verse. So, dharmam, in other words, what has happened to gopis? Actually, they did not leave the dharmam. Dharmam left them. That is what has happened. Dharmam has left them because of they got so attracted to self-realization in Krishna. That so got attracted to the soul that all that was holding them back to this world, they all left them. They all left the gopis. Because if you give up dharmam in this world due to any other reason, due to some other desire or any other reason, it will become sinful. It will become sinful. But dharmam is actually a vehicle. Vehicle means what? It's a dharmam is a vehicle. Vehicle means it's something to take you somewhere. To take you somewhere. After that the purpose is finished with the dharmam. You have to see dharmam like that. Some people what they do, they hold on to this dharmam for the whole life. And they think, I'm following the dharmam all the time. They'll say like that. But dharmam is only like this. That just like you got a car, you drove the car and you came here. The car is the dharmam. It has only helped you to come here. That's how much it can do. But you can't do anything else than that, isn't it? Similarly, dharmam is a vehicle. And that vehicle, dharmam is that vehicle which takes us back to Krishna. So, when Krishna or Brahman came in front, dharma has gone. There is no vehicle anymore. So when Krishna calls any devotee, all his dharma in this world is over, it's finished. And that separation from the world, that is what you find in the gopis. They themselves are being separated from the world. They have, world has left them, in other words. They didn't leave the world left them. That's what has happened here. So, that is what you find in that verse. Yalpatya patya sukhridam anuvrutta rengam srinam swadharma iti dharma vidhatvayoktam. Verse 32. Yalpatya patya sukhridam anuvrutti rengam srinam swadharma iti dharma vidhatvayoktam astu evam edu uvadeshapade tvayishe preshto bhavam tanubhridam kila bandhuralmam. So, that is where there is dharma. As far as the husband is concerned, children are concerned, relatives are concerned. But how long? That is a question. How long is that dharma? And the moment this intense desire comes to escape from this material existence, only up to that point. Till then mumukshatvam, what we talked about before, till then mumukshatvam comes, there is dharma in this world. Once that mumukshatvam comes, when a jiva gets that mumukshatvam inside, then no matter who tries to hold him back, he won't be held back. It is not possible to hold him back. There is a statement about that. Mata nasti, pita nasti, nasti bandur sahodaraha. Artham nasti, graham nasti, tasmad jagrada, jagrada. In other words, mata nasti, pita nasti. There is no mother, there is no father after that. When that final call comes from Krishna to go back to the, for self-realization, automatically, there is no mother, there is no mother, there is no father, there is no relations, and there is no brothers, there is no money, and there is no home. Tasmal, jagrada, jagrada. Therefore, be conscious and be aware of this. That mumukshatvam is such a powerful thing, when desire for liberation happens in a person, automatically, you will see this happen to many, many people in this world. It is still happening. Only thing is, we don't take notice of it. When that strong desire comes to get out of this world, escape from this material miseries, they leave, and they leave, they never turn back. There are people who have done that. Many, many instances, it's still happening. They break away from everything and they go, and they don't come back again. And then rest of their life they spend in different places, in different situations. But what happened to them is, this attraction has gone for this world, in the form of family, form of home, children, husband, all these kind of things have left them. So, what happens to them is, everything leaves them. Not giving up, but leaving them. So, just like we gave this example yesterday, when you scrape the coconut, when that vairagyam has come to that degree, coconut will separate from the shell, isn't it? It will stay separately from there. Similarly, otherwise, there will be always, it will be holding on to the coconut. You have to keep scratching, but you never get the complete thing out when it is not fully dry. So, gopis are saying here, we have surrendered to you and there is no more other desires inside either. So, therefore, the Krishna menam avehitvam almanam akhila almanam. Krishna mena, where does he say? Brahma. Brahma says this. In Brahmasuri you can see this. Brahma's prayers in the 13th chapter. Lord Brahma, when he glorifies Krishna, he says, Krishna mena mabehitvam almanam akhila almanam. So there also Sukhabrahma she says here, the reality is, Sukadeva Goswami says here, the priyam or priyiti is only in the soul. He is again stressing that point to us. Priyam is only in the soul. Priyam is only in the soul. Priyam is only in the soul. So, nitya priyam, and that is only possible in the soul. That's only possible in the soul. Everything else is anitya priyiti, anitya priyam. Not nitya priyam, anitya priyam. As we get closer to the soul, as we get closer to the soul, as we get closer to the soul, Even though you may experience some priyam towards the objects in the soul, as we get closer to the soul, that priyam towards objects in the world will go. Objects in the world will go. As you get closer only, you will feel this priyam towards that object, including Krishna. Including Krishna, it is like that. As you get closer to any form, you feel attracted to that, isn't it? You get attached to it. Sometimes devotees say like that. Some devotees say, who are attached to Bhaktivedanta manner, they will say, I am attached to Radha Gokulananda, they will say. And somebody else who is going to Sohostri temple, they will say, I am attached to Radha Landanishwara, not Radha Gokulananda. Although Radha Gokulananda and Radha Landanishwara is the same person, one will say, I like Radha Landanishwara, not Radha Gokulananda so much. So what do you make out of it? How can you explain that? That's the reason for that is, you are closer to something, that will be your attachment. That's where you will be, attachment will be. Because you are visiting Radha Landanishwara every day, or you are living closer to Landanishwara, you are going there, you will get attached there. If you are living near the Bhaktivedanta manor and you are visiting Gokulananda every day, you will get attached to Gokulananda. That's all it is. But in reality, both Gokulananda and Landanishwara is the same person who is standing there. Either way. So, and but they will speak in that way. Not the only thing to understand is that that although Krishna is the same person everywhere, in all the temples all over the world, it is the same personality. When you get closer to one form in one particular place, you feel priyam there. That is the way it is. You feel priyam there. Only when you get there, that what they're saying there. Preshto bhavan tanupradam kila benturalmam. That for those who have accepted a material body, for them, most dear thing for them is, for the woman, is the husband and the children. But even though it is all like that, Atmanastu kamayam sarvam priyam bhavati. Gopis are saying that all this priyam what we are feeling towards others is only because of the, for the purpose of the soul. Atmanastu kamayam sarvam priyam bhavati. In that Brahadaranya Upanishad statement. Because Atma, it is Atmanastu kamayam. Atma, the soul inside, desires that this priyam should come. Priyam should come. Because it's coming from the soul, priyam sarvam bhavati. We feel priyam towards others also, to everything else in this world. Everything else in this world. So, anything when it becomes yours, you feel happy. You feel happy about it. That's why I say, my children, my husband, my wife, Atmanastu kamaya priyam bhavati. Na jaye kamayo priya bhavati. Atmanastu kamayo priya bhavati. Because it's my wife, I feel priyam towards her. Because it's mine. Therefore, I feel priyam towards her. Isn't it? And because it's my religion, I feel priyam towards my religion. Isn't it? That is how everything, everybody is fighting in this world in the name of religion, isn't it? Because it's my religion. That's why I want it. That everybody should follow that. So this is the madness of it. So this, where is this coming from? Atmanastu kamayam priyam bhavati. It gives me satisfaction for the soul that priyam is coming because it's mine. That mine feeling. That's creating that feeling there. Just like anything else. So if you keep looking at it, you can see. So in a very, very extremely subtle level, everything ultimately comes and stops in us. What they say, the buck stops there. This is important thing. It is such an interesting thing also, that everything what we are seeing in this world, ultimately when it becomes yours, you are concerned about it. Everything, you can come and finally close it in me, in you. In other words, that is where, in me, everything finishes at that point, isn't it? So practically you can see, because you are born as a Hindu, you feel attachment towards Hindu religion. Somebody is born as a Christian, he feels attachment to Christian religion. Somebody is born as a Muslim, he feels attachment to Muslim religion. That is all it is, nothing more than that. Because it suits me, I feel priyam towards that. Feels priyam towards that. So you can see that when you keep on observing things like that, in a very, very subtle level, sushma sthiti, you can see everything comes and stops in me. Everything comes and stops in me. So, is it that in my body? No, it's not in my body either. because I have no priti in my priyam in my body either. Body also will go. Because suppose you say happiness is experienced by the jiva, and suppose you tell them that sukham is dangerous for the jiva. Suppose somebody tells me that this happiness is going to give you trouble later, I'll tell them, look, you can have the happiness, I don't want it anymore. Because there also, if you look at it in a very subtle level, you can see you're always protecting yourself, the soul. That is where all your attention is. But due to our ajnanam inside, we mistakenly think that all these objects are the cause, all these objects are the source and things like that. But as much as our attention goes inwards, you will see everything comes finally and finishes at the soul. Soul, everything comes to a stop. For example, suppose I got sick, I got some problem with the hand and some growth in the hand or something like that, and done all the treatment, it didn't work. I went to the hospital. The hospital tells, doctor tells me, the only option I have is to cut your hand off. I'll say, yes, you can cut it off so that I can live. There also, even when it comes to your own body, you are willing to think, take care of yourself, the self, more than the body. Isn't it? That's practical experience, isn't it? Suppose somebody tells you that your leg has to be amputated tomorrow. Something has happened. You can see all the people who go to fight in the war, battlefield. When they battlefield, they lose some element. They don't say that I'm going to give up my life. They come back. And when they come back, their either legs gone, hands gone, so many parts of the body is taken out. But still they want to live. Why? Alma is inside and priyam is in the alma, not in the body. That's a lesson that's to learn from that. Priyam is not in the body. Priyam is in the alma. Body belongs to material nature. Material nature put this dress on us. It will take it off when it wants. And we have no priyam there either. It's only misunderstanding that I'm attached to this body. That's our ignorance in there. So, so if a hand has to be cut off, leg has to be cut off, and tomorrow if somebody says, I have to cut off your head, we'll say, yes, that's fine if I can live. Even that we may accept it at that point. We may do that. Because it is possible that at some point these scientists, one day they may come up with a solution. Like they can say that they can take the head off and you can still, like the chest head was taken off, isn't it? And the goat's head was put on there. So head is not the thing that keeps life going in this world. We have some misunderstanding, if I cut the throat, everything is over. No. Because you know how that is proved? Because if you look at it this way, that when you are feeling deep sleep, suppose you are sitting there and you are feeling very sleepy, what happens? The head goes towards the soul. Because soul is not here, soul is here. The head falls. What does that mean? He is trying to go back to the source where it's coming from. Because it's from this point that everything is getting its power. The soul inside, that's here. That's why the head goes down. So from this you can understand, many yogis and jnanis, they don't accept this principle that if head is cut off, you can't live. They say you have not found out the process yet. You can cut off the head and you can still live in this world. Head is not the guarantee that you are living in this world. The heart is the where the soul is present. That's where the guarantee point is here. The guarantee place is here. Not here. Not here. So Jnani is very particular about that. They'll say this, that head can drop, but you're not going to, similar, that is an indication to you that head is dead at that time. In deep sleep, head is dead, isn't it? There's nothing happening there. And even if it falls off, it means that it's not functioning on with your knowledge. But here, the soul who is present there is keeping the head going still. So that's how it is. Or if you can replace this head with another head, just like in Daksha's head. Daksha was not unhappy about it. He was given a goat's head, and keeping that head, he had to live for a long time. In the Bhagavatam, you will know that story. So there is a source somewhere inside where the priyam is coming from. Where the priyam is coming from. And if you find out that source, which means self-realization, nitya priye, that is where nitya priyam happens. When you realize the self, that is where nitya priyam happens. Because that when that priyam happens, you feel happy. You feel happy. So, because priyam always required an object, requires an object. If it doesn't get another human body as an object, it will look for an animal to give that prem to somebody else, isn't it? You see that cats, dogs, people love all that sometimes because they couldn't get another person to love or another human being with to whom they could exhibit their prem to somebody else. So that's why it has happened like that. So, so if they keep prem towards someone, they feel happy about it. Sukham. So that can turn into anything, because nowadays if you look at the people, what kind of pets people keep, you'll be amazed the kind of pets people have. Some of them are keeping tigers, some of them keeping lions, cubs, and some of them are keeping snakes at home, some of them are keeping these crocodiles at home. If you ask them, they are our pet, they say. Just see the power of that prem inside. Even though we know how much trouble looking after a crocodile or a lion is, or a snake is, somewhere in the north, I read once the news was there, they're saying that one man has got so many cobras at home. He was keeping at home, living happily with all of them together. Imagine that. So why? There is prem, what can you do? He has no other outlet for the prem to go to. So he has developed the outlet towards this vipers and all the cobras and all that. What can you do? So prem is like that. He feels the prem has to go to somewhere. But nitya prem is only possible with the soul or with Krishna. That is the message. So there is some happiness when you have prem. That is why you are after that. It's going after that, isn't it? So, not for giving happiness to that object, but for yourself. That's the most important thing. That the happiness what you are getting is within you. That's where it is happening. So, we are thinking that we are giving happiness to the cat and the dog. Actually, the dog is happy if you let it go. You are imprisoning that cat or dog at home. And when some free dogs are running around in the street freely, the one which is locked up in the house, he is suffering. He is thinking, I don't have the freedom what the dog has got outside. The dog outside is freely wandering, running around. But we are thinking, oh, this dog is happy. I am giving the best dog food. He is eating the best from the Waitrose and Sainsbury's or whatever. You get the best food I am offering to them. So my dog is more happy. Actually, no. The other dog, which may be starving even, that dog is more happy than the one what you are feeding and looking after here. Because he has lost his independence. He cannot have any prem. He has to just stay home and listen to everything what you say to him. Where independence has gone, isn't it? So, similarly, in every relationship, if you look, you will see the same thing. For the dog, it is misery. Similarly, for the cat also, the same thing. If cat which is running around freely, it gets food from different houses, like a sannyasi, it collects from all the houses a little bit, and it wanders around. It's a happy person. We have locked him up in the inside the house and say, you be happy with us together, but doesn't feel any happiness. So similarly, small children also, you look, you will see there, we take, as I mentioned before, we take the small 1 year, 2 year old, and you kiss that child, feeling happy. Child is not feeling happy, you are feeling happy. The child doesn't like all your beard and everything on its smooth face. Then it shows, it turns the head off when you start kissing. It tolerates us like that. But people are thinking, oh, I given a kiss to that child and I looked after the child nicely. I gave a lot of affection to the child. Actually, no. Child doesn't want all of you, all your kissing, hugging and all. What it wants is some freedom to do what it wants to do. So many instances you can see this. Then sometimes it will cry when you kiss the child. It will cry also. But all these places, you can notice one thing. Sukham or happiness is in us, not in the object. That is the most important thing. Priyam is also happening within us. And for that is what Krishna he mentions there. Kurvan mihi toiradim kushalasya malman. Kurvan mihi toiradim kushalasya malman. In order to have that prem, we have all these relationships, husband, wife, and children, and everything, wealth, everything. And keeping all that as our shelter, we are trying to create this prem within us. We are trying to create prem within us. That's what we are doing, actually. We are trying to create prem within us. So only for that purpose. So and therefore actually no object is giving us any priyam, and it will give us some priyam, and then it will create arti. That word arti, what we talked about before. So every time when you have developed priyam for any object in this world, there is always the fear inside, one day it is going to leave me. One day it is going to leave me. When you keep that priyam, attachment towards that, when it's there, there is a feeling of priyam. And similarly, when it leaves you, there is distress also. There is distress also. So not only that, if you are closer to that object with which you have the priyam, if you are closer to that object, if any damage or any problem happens to that object, or any problem comes, you are disturbed about that, isn't it? You are disturbed about that. As soon as you know your wife is sick or husband is sick or children are sick, immediately the fear starts developing. When is it going to happen? That is he going to leave or is she going to leave? And what all happens, you can see in the process of that priyam. In the process of that priyam, all these things are embedded inside that priyam. All that misery, that is also hiding inside that priyam. Hiding inside that priyam. That is what it says here. Priyam, any priyam, what you experience towards a vastu or an object outside, you can take it that arti or dukkham is hiding behind that. Arti, so anartham. So that is what Krishna is saying here. And it is now 11:05. So we should stop today, isn't it? Quarter to 12, we have to leave the hall. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.